Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. We have a special guest today. He is a mayoral candidate for the city of Encinitas, which is just south of Carlsbad, where I grew up, where I own property. And so his name is Micah. He's going to be joining us for the first hour for a little interview. So that's exciting. And of course, we'll always, you know, as always, we will have our lovely co-host, Elizabeth, and to join us. And the second hour, of course, is going to be the good news report with Mom. And the third hour, I'd like to just wrap up the second two agreements and then just take it from there. And it looks like Elizabeth is with us.
Hey,
hello.
Happy Sunday. Hello. Welcome to Vacation. It was one of those bad vacation movies with Eddie Murphy, with Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
On the road.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase, yes. I'm on the road with my sister and her son. We're at the farm right now. But I'm like, we're good.
Oh,
we're good. We're in, the cats just came out. So the boy's out running, chasing the cats. And the boys are so happy to be back in the car with air conditioning. They want to go home so bad. It's so funny. But we're having fun. And they surprised me from Kansas. So we just did about 15 dozen eggs. And
that's so awesome.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So I was like, no worries. So here we are. But we got bloody fingers and we've got crabbiness. And I'm like, wished I brought my cigarettes, but I didn't. Not allowed to smoke part of the trial. So. There we are for our Sunday.
Yeah.
But
we'll hang in there.
Oh, no, it's good. It's good. I got the air on. We're all good. It will be fun. We're going to barbecue when we get home. So this is our mobile show for me, and I'll keep it down to a minimum with the mute in between. So how are you this week? Oh,
not
here they
bad.
Come.
This
is great. We got cowboy hats. I love it out here. I want to move to the farm. This is fantastic. It's really
yeah.
So
it's just a more wholesome life.
Oh, it's fantastic. I have a whole two mason jars full of cherries, the cooking cherries, the kind that you do moonshine
Ooh.
With and such things. So I got those. I got just a you know the when you think we were just talking about this too about you know. Civilization just going away so quickly because the grocery stores out here, they've moved around their shelves and things, but they still look sparse. And I was like, it's interesting because my little small grocery stores are not like this, but they go to the big box Woodman's and different things. And we're talking about getting down to what are we going to do? And I said, don't you dare get rid of these chickens because he's got probably 500 or 800. There's a ton of them here.
Wow.
And it's now up to over 4,000 a month to feed these guys. And I said, don't, because these are going to be your $25 chickens pretty soon. Just watch, because you're going to be a rare commodity. And you know what he tells me? He goes, but then people are going to come steal them. I said, no. This is in the middle of the country. People are going to be stealing other things like Cadillac converters and, you know, I don't think they're going to come out to get a live chicken that they don't even know how to butcher and how to pluck and cook them. Not going to get down to that.
Yeah.
But while I've been here, it's so cool. All of his neighbors, you know, he's got a really nice business here. They come in for wood. They come in for eggs. And he's been doing bartering. They've come in and brought here cherries and tomatoes. And get a little firewood, get a little eggs, and it's like this is how we're going to go right back to this because it's already in existence and it's really cool to watch. So that's my good news for the day.
That is awesome. Yeah, and it's interesting because the guest that we're going to have, he's going to call in about 3:15. The city of Encinitas is actually kind of like a bougie at this point, like beach town. But it didn't used to be that way. It used to all be farmlands and flowers and, you know, and just really quaint small town kind of stuff. And now it's definitely starting to turn into, you know, a liberal hellscape. And it's sad to see it go that way. So I'm hoping that things can be adjusted with the right leadership.
Well, how do the people that live there, how do they feel? Because here,
well,
it went red. It went red so fast. We had our primaries. Everything went red, and it was like, oh, we're in a blue state. It's interesting. But they're done. They're done, and it didn't matter who they were. Who they were, and there was a three-man race for Republican for governor. And I can't remember who was it. I was already had this conversation with somebody else several times, and I hope I'm not boring you with it again. But Ross Perot, he was the man who undid presidential election because he was the third party, right? They did the same thing with the Republican governor. Quite. But he, the right candidate, got in. He won with 40, close to 50% in a three-man race. We got our God-fearing, the man who actually sued the governor and won when all the lockdown was stopped. That's our Republican nomination. That even though they set up all this terrible, oh, I love it. I've got to get, take a picture of him, would you? My uncle on his tractor, I love it.
Him and
his, I love it with his cowboy hat. The Democratic money they put in billions of dollars. There's a, I'd like to know where we get all these billionaires that dabble in politics. But we have one in Illinois who backed this mayor from a small suburb to run for governor over our senator, our sitting senator, who stood up for our religious freedoms against this medical tyranny. And he's black, and he's been forced, you know, he's the shoo-in for Chicago. He's been touted as an actual, he's an actual rhino. He's not a Republican. He lost. Somehow, the power of the people, because people are just, we've lived through this, and we're fuming. We're like the girlfriend, not the girlfriend that you cheated on, but the wife that you cheated on with the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize it, but we are, we sewed your sheets together. We're going to sell the house, huh? We've had it with you. And no, we're not talking to you.
Hey,
and
can you hear me okay? I just hooked up a headphones. Can you hear me?
You're pretty good. You're pretty good. How about me? I'm in the car. We got, I asked everyone to be quiet. I got two chihuahuas on my shoulders. I got the blowing air conditioning. And I hope I don't bore you guys with this, but we got to do my radio show. So I could hear you.
No, I can hear you fine. Good.
Because I'm about to put you in my shirt as we drive. But
I feel very special.
And yes, it's just because I love it. But that's what I do. I put you under my in my shoulder, and I hope the butch. Okay, good. I tell you, can you hear me now? Because this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I can hear you. Great.
How do I sound? Okay, good.
Fine.
So I had my chihuahua who thinks he's, you know, the lead from the Titanic hanging out the window earlier, and I couldn't believe he's like 30 pounds trying to get out the window instead of the 5 that he is. So I think they're all actually, they've had so much fun, they're glad to go home right now, which is good. But anyways, back to the politics, I think that no matter whatever the unjust conditions that people have become accustomed to, but they're like, you know, we're done, we want it out, and the only way short of revolution is to vote for the right person if we can get the right people in.
Assuming your elections aren't rigged.
Well, you know what? When this guy just won, like I said, the three-man race to get the Republican nomination, can you hear me? I don't know how this can work. Are you there? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm gonna do something different. Okay, so because he hit a button, I was like, lovely, the dog's paw. Here. But the fact that he Darren Bailey made it in with a privilege to run against this tyrant. Well, you know, but anyway, Pritzker has decided, he vocally said, you know, I'm really thinking about running for president because I think I'm going to lose this election anyways, but I think I could be your next president because, you know, America should look like Illinois. Oh, well, that sounds sure you're going to. Yeah. It's unbelievable what they think they can do. But he thinks that, you know what, they wanted Bailey to win this because he's an easy lose for Pritzker. It's like, no, I'm so sorry. If you've not been paying attention, the underbelly of this population has had it with living this way. And they're not, they'd all rather burn their houses down and walk into Iowa and do the Field of Dreams thing than to live in Illinois anymore under another 4 years of Pritzker. And that's really where it's at. So as far as you guys, if your people are have had it, but boiling, you're seething, and it's like, yeah, we're living, we're, this is not the, this is not why I moved out to California to live, you know, this, what have you done with my, is it Encinito is what it is? Is that how it's pronounced?
Encinitas.
Encinitas.
With an S.
Encinitas. Gotcha. It sounded, I'm like, oh, I've heard of that place. That's pretty cool. If they have lost their community, I think anybody who, we're at the point where we would take a dog catcher who has a little bit of scruples and we'd vote them in as opposed to what we have. And it doesn't even, I mean, really, the gas tax, you know, all across Illinois, we are paying a dollar more than the rest of the country. When you watch the news, they're like,
excuse me. Nope. We have the highest. Oh, yeah. It's like $1.19 in taxes or something like that.
Okay, then you're more than us because we have an actual dollar more on top of these. I think they're lowbrowing these news stories of how bad it is because it's like, wait a minute, $4.98 is a national average, but Chicago's $5.89, and I've seen Minnesota $8. I'm like, good Lord. And then I, you know. You know, my sister couldn't believe how cheap eggs were. She's from Kansas. We got eggs for $2.49 a dozen. And the irony is here, we just went out and cleaned eggs at my uncle's house. I got all the ones that were unfit to sell. I'm like, absolutely, I'll take them. They're wonderful. I got jumbo eggs. You know.
Now, you know that you're not supposed to put them in the freezer or the refrigerator. If you wash them, you have to put them in the refrigerator. If you don't wash them, you have to leave them on the counter.
Well, yeah, he's got them on. You should see there's just a ton of them just sitting there in those little baskets, those little metal baskets, in what they call the hen house. And they sit there waiting to be washed because people don't like to buy yucky-looking eggs, right? But it's so dry that he's just brushing them off with his finger, and he's like, just as long as they don't look yucky, people don't like to, you know, have to clean their eggs. And he pops them in, and then they have a refrigerator on the front porch. And people just, it's self-serve with a little drop box and stuff. I did notice, did you see the surveillance camera? I'm like, is it just a sign? I can't imagine that they have a surveillance camera because they don't even have locks on the doors for the house for the 150 years it's been there. But yeah, that's how they do it. But I know that they just kind of sit there without any refrigeration, and it's hot. It's hotter than hell. They have fans in there. I'm like one of those people. I'm like, do you need help? You got to go in there. And they're like, no, we're good. And I'm like, okay, good. And I stand there making chit chat, and then I'm like, I have to leave because it's hot, and I can't do this. I got to go sit in the shade. I am allowed to help the people. But that's what I did and watched them do that. But nonetheless, the prices of food here were – what are you paying for eggs, babe, in Kansas? Because I was like, you know, it's not – you know, three and a half. What are you paying? Because $2.99. You're talking 40 cents. Danielle is in San Diego. We were paying $6 a dozen or something, which is insane. When were they $1.29? See here, they've never been $1.29. I've been paying over $2 for eggs forever. They've never been $1.99. That's unheard of. That's from 10 years ago when they were 99 cents at Aldi's. So the price gouge.
Well, our guest is here.
Oh, good. Welcome. But my point was, we're paying Illinois tax. It's just, it should be criminal. It's criminally illegal to have that much.
Absolutely.
Welcome.
All right, I'm going to let him in. I'm going to let him in now. Hold on.
Absolutely. I'll probably mute.
Hi, is this Micah?
Yes, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. Yeah, I can.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming, then. Can't wait to hear what your views and what your vision are. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I'm actually running for mayor of Encinitas, California, which is a beach town. I'm running because the current city council is like wasting money on stuff we don't need, just basically building like bike lanes and all this stuff that just like, and leaving the stuff we need on the back burner. So it's time to switch that around, you know.
I bet they're going to be so happy to hear that. Because people, we don't, when people are spending, what's the old phrase? When you can't afford to pay your cable bill, you lose your cable. And the government can't afford to pay. They have every channel. They have HBO Plus, and it's all on your dime. That local government needs to operate the way you operate your home budget. So I think people are going
to That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm running on needs before aesthetics. So all the needs get taken care of before we do fancy stuff, you know, that we don't need. It's just like a play. Like, they build bike lanes because they say, well, we need to get out of our cars and get in bikes. But you can't force people to get out of cars. And then so all it's doing is building lanes for these spandex bike riders that ride through town. They don't even stop and they don't spend money. But I think it has something to do with them paying like off the council to make a bike lane so that they have a thoroughfare there.
I'm gonna tell you, that's my number one pet peeve, and I think that's a Democratic state thing, because they did that all throughout my state, and it's like, I'm sorry, you just want people to die, because the number one, they shouldn't be on the road with a car, but then they made our roads smaller with their bike lanes, little curbs and things.
Definitely has to.
It's like, I'm sorry, you have bike. We have wonderful bike paths for you guys to be on. I'm like, so now, can you envision an entire nation of people? There's like, they don't want us to have cars, basically. Here, you can ride your bike. You can take your little public scooters they give us, our electric scooters in Chicago. Chicago, where it rains and it snows, but you're supposed to ride a scooter with your groceries and all of our older, out of, seriously, that's the new thing. They're called Bird. And I'm like, look, they're cute. Nobody's stealing them. They're there all the time. There's like 8 to 10 of them on every corner parked. No one's using them.
Well, they can't.
And
they
can't
steal them. We have them all the time. We have them all over the place here, too. They can't really be stolen. It's like a GPS tracking thing. So
are there? Well, they're not even using.
Yeah,
them. They're
yeah.
just there. And I'm just, it tickles me. I'm like, yeah, this is going to catch on. This is what they want us to do. Yeah. And I'm wondering how much did they pay for that program? Talk about wasting money on ridiculous things. I know. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't think the city is actually paying. Go ahead, Micah.
The city doesn't pay for those. I mean, we have the scooters and we have the bikes and everything as well. And it's, the city doesn't pay for it. It's these companies that own them. They bring them, they pay the city to park them on the corners. And then, they do have a GPS system that also locks them. So you have to take a credit card, like use an app, scan the bike's number. And once you pay for it, it unlocks the bike or scooter or whatever.
Oh,
so you can't even
Okay.
Yeah, you can't even move it. You can't even, like, drive it. You can't even, like, steal it.
Oh, my God. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they put these, because I'm driving into Chicago for work every day, and they're in the poorest part of the city where they don't have any grocery stores. The Burger Kings are shutting down. There are more people using public transportation than I've ever seen anywhere. These people don't have money, and they put these scooters all over for people that don't have credit cards. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, your mindset is broken. This is not what these people need. They need a grocery store.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
And I really think that that it's an interesting situation there in Encinitas. I don't know if Proof told you, but I grew up in Carlsbad, and we own property up in Carlsbad, just neighbor right to the north. And it's interesting because back in the day, Encinitas used to be more farmlands and flowers and things like that. Just a quiet little beach city. And over the years, it really has gone, from this quiet beach town to this very aesthetic, focused, rich, community. And I don't know, I personally feel like getting back to the roots, of Encinitas is more of what people want versus all of these transplants coming in and trying to make it into something that it isn't. What do you think about that?
Oh, no, that's one of the things I'm trying to clap, because I live in Leucadia, and I moved there in 2015. I used to live in Valley Center, so that's a stark difference moving to the coast. But I moved to Leucadia because it was rural. It was ruralish enough to make the transition not so into the middle of a town. And now Leucadia is getting built up like crazy. Like literally, like there's 2 to 3 story complexes coming in. I think there's like 14. More coming in the next few years. And so I was saying in my debate, I'm like, Leucadia was supposed to be rural, and it's getting built up so fast and so much, it's going to look like Escondido. It's going to look worse than downtown.
Absolutely.
It's going to look more built up than downtown. So I said, what I'm going to do is what they're doing is they're building these complexes, but at the same time, they're building affordable housing complexes. And so one situation happened where they kicked out Sunshine Gardens, which is a popular nursery, and they had like a turtle there and a Betty's Pie Hole restaurant and stuff. They kicked them off the property because it was something to do with the city property, and they took it over because they want to build affordable housing. And so I said, my plan is, since the city needs to abide by the affordable housing, I'm going to say any developer in the entire city, any development they want to do going forward has to have 25% affordable housing implemented into it if they want to build. And so then, I'm saying if that's done, it's going to cut down on a developer's building developments and building up the land. But then I said, actually, not really, because whatever developer that's fueled by greed says, no, I'm not going to do the 25% affordable housing, somebody's going to come right behind them and say, no, but I will, so it's not really going to stop it. But it's going to also take somebody clamping down more on what can be built, how big it can be built, and, what area it's going to be built in, because it's turning into a metro city really fast.
Mm-hmm. Right. And unlike Escondido or, East, there's not infinite land on the coast, right? Like we've got a coastline, and then that's, it's basically as far as we can build. And so, putting up these monster developments I really don't think that's what the city wants. I really don't think that's in the best interest or what the taxpayers want. We actually have a caller on the line from Carlsbad. We know her here on this show as Mom, and she's got a couple questions for you. Are you up for some questions?
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. Mom, go ahead and raise your hand, push one, and we'll let you into the waiting room here. There we go. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Doing well. I'm excited that you came on the show today. Have a ton of questions. So when Danielle was – well, a ton. I've got a few. When Danielle was talking about Encinitas / Leucadia being farmland, flowers, when I was a kid, I'm Danielle's mom, by the way. I grew up in Encinitas. We lived on Bloor Drive. We lived down on Requeza. And then my grandmother had a little place in Acadia. Oh, gosh, it started with an H, Hialeah or something like that.
Hialeah.
So we loved that little town. But when I moved there, Encinitas Boulevard, the second half of it was dirt road. And it was all farmland out there. And, you know, because they built that huge housing development out there, Encinitas Boulevard, the other side of El Camino Real, and that's when they paved that road out there. So Danielle's premise is correct. There's only so much dirt. You can only build so much on those properties before they become, as you say, a metro area. Do you believe at some point that San Diego, all the way up the coast, is going to be all urban sprawl, as they say it? Do you see that as our future? And if so, how would you address that as the mayor of Encinitas?
Well, the way things are going, it's like everything is going to be built. I mean, if you're looking at Carlsbad right now, the bare area between, I think it's like, was it Palmer Airport Road and Cannon, that one area that's just like open space. They want to build a whole resort there and move the road over and then have that all like a resort. And I'm like, that's crazy. Just, you know, where.
No,
No, the 101. The 101.
Oh.
So you know where it forks out. It kind of forks out when you're going up to Palmer Airport Road or you're going and it forks up and then comes back to the coast. They want to move they want to move the road right to the coast, and they want to use that square patch in between to build a resort. I'm like, how are they going to even – I mean, that, like, I can't even envision it. But it's happening over there. Encinitas, they're building I'm sure you're familiar with I can't remember the name of it, but the resort that was put into the bluff overlooking Ponto.
Yes.
So right behind that, they want to build a giant multi-story mixed-use village. So right behind that, so where like Roberto's Tacos and that little shopping center sits, and then all the way back, they want to build it's going to be as tall as that resort, and it's going to be like a whole village in there. And so if it continues like it is at this time, it's going to end up like that. Now, like I said, the solution is bringing controls onto development and where they can and preserving some places like they're building around the lagoon. They're building like the entire area around there is being built up. So,
ask a question. If you want to run, you're running, and I support that effort. What is the city council like? Encinitas, what kind of battles would you have with them if you are elected?
So right now, the city council is for the most part, or so we got like, I think we have one person on there that's kind of swaying one way or the other. Got the mayor who's I think she leans mostly left, and the other two. Or we got Tony Kranz, who's running. He's to the left. And then Mosca, he's from the Rancho Center, or, you know, from Olivenhine.
Right.
I think he goes to the left. But the issue is this race, the mayor race is also going to be electing new city council members. So we got Julie Thunder running. From what I hear, like, it seems she ran for mayor last time. And from what I'm hearing, that she she's like the front runner to get a spot this time on the council itself, not as mayor, but as a council member. So she kind of evens up the thinking pattern. I think there's one other council spot, if I'm not mistaken. something up too. So by the time the mayor gets into office, like there's going to be one guaranteed council seat. Person is not going to be in there because whoever the people that are in there now are at their limit. So there's going to be one change, and then I think there's another one coming up as well. So,
we actually have another caller that oh, cool. I'd like to bring in. I sort of recognize the number, so I'm not sure if she's calling in to ask you questions, he or she. But let me just see who this is here.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Lily.
I thought that was you. Yay, Lily. Lily is one of our favorites here. Lily, we have a caller here today that is running for mayor of a town in San Diego. So so he's with us. So do you have any questions for him, or are you just calling to share your lovely perspective?
I'm just calling to hang out with my favorite people, but he's super awesome. I've been listening.
Yay.
Well, thank you. We always love you. Love you to jump on and add to the conversation. How are you, sweetie?
I love you guys.
We love you, too.
Hi, Lily. Well,
Mom, do you have any more questions?
I have a question.
Okay, what's up?
I'm curious as to whether or not you already have a vision for the city council. Do they have a vision for the city and like how to ostensibly get the keep the flavor of what you want that town to look like. Like you want to keep it nice and quaint, build around it, you know, like, I guess an architecture. Do you have a plan? Is there a plan already, a vision? Or is it like, are you going for like, we want developers, we want this, we want that. We just want to bring money to our town, you know, or do they care? Like,
right now the city council has no really a focus. They're focusing on what they call environmental, which means, you know, the bike lanes and banning use of natural gas and banning having balloons and all that stuff. That's what they're doing. So it's like an environmental focus, which I say is contrived because I don't think all that stuff. I mean, if you want to protect the environment and protect the land. Like you're letting them rip up the land, but then you're saying, well, we got to ban rubber, we got to ban balloons, and we got to ban, people can't have natural gas stoves in their house. They have to only have electric, and that's contrived. Like then stop the development of the land if you want to really protect the environment, that's their focus. I want to come in and just focus on like I said, needs. So I'm going to come in. I want to throw funds into the stuff we need. We need crossings out in Acadia, rail crossings, because they NCTD came in, which is the Railroad Commission, and they wanted to build a fence on the tracks because they said too many people get hit. But the people that get hit, those are suicides, okay? So you're fencing off the people that can cross the tracks. The fence is about 5 feet tall, so if somebody wants to commit suicide, they can jump the fence anytime. It's not all it's doing is stopping the seniors from where I live and stuff. Like they don't drive. They used to cross over to Just Peaches, like a market there, and shop and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can't go. The suicides can still happen. And they didn't put crossings in. And then they built the streetscape, which is like, they said, well, they want to make bike lanes and places for people to walk in. It's a community gathering place. And they fenced off the tracks. And not only did they fence off the tracks, but the city paid for the fence. Delmar is fighting the fence right now. Delmar is trying to fight the fence coming in. Not only did NCTD not fight the fence, they said, oh, we'll build the fence for you. And I said, if I was the mayor, I would have been like, okay, NCTD, first of all, I don't want a fence here. I'm going to fight as much as I can. But if you do want a fence, you're going to pay for it, and you're also going to pay for crossings, and you're going to put those in before you put the fence in. Because to me, it's stupid. I was saying in my debate, why are you building Streetscape, which is a community gathering place, and then at the same time you're fencing a large portion of the community off where we can't even go to Streetscape? And so that didn't make sense. You know, I'm like saying it just totally doesn't make sense. So I want to use the money for the needs, for building the rail crossings, for getting the roads taken care of, for getting all the bluffs and the beach accesses, they need to be retrofitted and stuff because beacons just collapsed. We need to retrofit them. They're just not spending the money where we need to put the needs. I want to boost more funds to the sheriff's department because there's a lot of the crime rates going up. Focus on the homeless situation. I want to hit it by hitting mental health care and substance abuse, basically focusing on that versus like focusing on giving them a free meal and a free room to stay in, you know.
Seem to me that there seems to be a lot more punitive things going on than there used to be on the residents of Encinitas. And I know that Encinitas very quickly jumped on the COVID bandwagon and was arresting people for going to a beach that they pay for, you know.
Really?
What do you think about that? Yeah, my friend Annette Reed, her brother got arrested and then moved to Tennessee after that because he's like, screw this place. But got arrested
for just very peacefully
walking on the beach during COVID lockdowns. But what do you think about that? I'm sure with your barefoot is legal connections that you're also probably anti-lockdown, anti-mask, things like that too, right?
Well, so the thing of that when the beaches were shut down, that was a statewide ban by the governor's office. And so at that time it becomes a law. So the sheriff's department is following the law of the – yes. Well, you know, it's a mandate. It's basically they're going to look at it as the law for right now. So the barefoot thing and this thing is a totally different thing because the barefoot thing – there is no mandates or laws or anything, and people – and, to this day, right now in this area, people can walk into a store without a mask, and it's fine. But if I go into a store without shoes, some of them are going to still kick me out even though I have a doctor's note. So they're basically violating the law. They are actually violating this California Civil Code, but it's really hard to hold them accountable. And at the same time, with the masks and all that thing, that was, like, a mandate that went – that was going by the governor – and so at that time, yes, they closed the beaches, and if anybody went on the beach, the sheriffs were going to arrest them. So that was not a city. I mean, the city could have said, well, we don't want that. But you still can't stop because the beaches are actually not city. They're taken care of by the state. So the state, we have state police officers out here. So we have sheriffs and we have state police. Even if the sheriffs stopped arresting people on the beach, the state police would just arrest them. So it's not something the city has control of at that point.
Well, okay, and I believe that it was also not so much that you couldn't go on the beach, but you couldn't sit on the beach, which, of course, was backed up by science or not. I don't know.
So when the beach ban first happened, you weren't allowed on the beach at all. It's because at that point when it first happened, everybody was supposed to stay home and only go to the market if they needed something. You're only go out when you need to. So the beach was completely closed. Then they opened them up for you to be able to walk during certain hours of the day. But, yeah, you couldn't stop. You had to just walk. You couldn't, sit down and sunbathe or anything like that, or you would be asked to leave. And, they weren't really arresting anybody unless they resisted, you know. So,
So somebody peacefully sitting on the beach is resisting arrest. Like, that to me is so backwards. It's like, you know, that's basically the act of sitting on a beach is now considered resisting arrest. And none of these, none of this was legal. None of this was, the governor was not able to do any of this stuff. We all kind of complied with it, but these mandates were not, they're not laws. And there should not have been any kind of enforcement involved in it. Like there, that, because it's a mandate and not a law. There, you know, the enforcement was really up to city by city. You didn't really see people down here in Ocean Beach. You didn't see people getting arrested in Ocean Beach, but we did see people getting arrested in Encinitas.
Yeah, I mean,
the flavor of who was in charge dictated what your environment was.
Precisely.
We had two counties. We got Kane County,
but
DuPage County. And DuPage
but
County was
stuff,
like Wisconsin. I was like, wait a minute, you guys are open? They're like, no, we're in Lombard. I'm like, what the hell? We're living in Nazi Germany, and you guys are in bars with no masks. And it was just because the guys that ran that county, the mayors, the sheriffs, were like, this is bullshit. It's been 2 weeks.
But see, I mean, they're still doing it. They're still doing it right now because, like I said, like, the mask thing affected a whole bunch of people at once, right? Like a whole bunch of people had to wear masks and all that stuff. So, I mean, I think it should have been up to the businesses themselves. So if they didn't want them, they could like sign a waiver or something that they accept the responsibility. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I wasn't in the city. I had nothing to do with the city at that when the mandate came through. I just know there was a mandate and I know that I was told that the beaches are state property and, you know. So
and that's
state,
true. You're right about
like
that.
They couldn't. The city was trying to open the beaches earlier, and they actually got one of them open, which is like I think it's called Stone Steps because it's a city beach. The rest of the beaches are all state beaches. But this thing happened. Like, so – when the mandate came through for the mask, and then all these people were upset about having to wear masks and how you can get arrested if you don't know. But the reality is, this happens to people like my people all the time. Like if I walk into a place and they say they don't want me in there because I don't have shoes on, which under the California code is protected under medical conditions as well as unconventional dress, and they call the sheriff can arrest me for trespassing. And so it's still happening. Mm-hmm. It hasn't just been with the mask. This is happening every day of the year for who knows how long, like for eternity. And so that's something that has to be get changed. I'm trying. So that's something I'm also pushing in the city is I'm going to make sure that nobody is discriminated upon. I said crystal clear to the effect of the wording of the Civil Code of California, which means any business has to let anybody in. According to what the civil code says, which is, you know, race, sex, medical condition, creed, religion, and unconventional dress. And I'm like, so any of those things are now I would make illegal in the city. So it's basically a full-on clampdown on everything. It's not one thing. It's everything. It's like places say they have the right to refuse service, and they do not have the right to refuse service.
And they
have their right to refuse service is trumped by the state code. So, I mean,
right.
I
and
told
you know what I say to those
can't.
People? You know what I say to those people is that, you know, oh, well, we can refuse service to anybody for any reason. Oh, really? Can you tell somebody that, you know, who's black that they can't come in here because they're black? Is
exactly.
that a good enough reason? No,
exactly.
You can't. Can you say I really don't want to build a wheelchair ramp. So we're going to just deny service to people who are in wheelchairs. You know, that's the thing, is that there are laws against this stuff. And I really do applaud the Barefoot is Legal movement for kind of, you know, paving the way for us to know what our rights are now when it comes to bare face is legal. And so I really do. I applaud you for knowing this stuff, for fighting, for pushing back on it, and for kind of being the beacons for us to be able to maintain our rights. So I really do applaud you for that.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to make it so that, like, there's no – that everybody has the right. Like, I don't care what they're – like, my poll is – my thing is I don't care what your race or religion or sex or if you wear shoes or if you don't or if you're in a white guru robe or if you're walking around in a furry animal costume. You got respected as an individual, and your individuality is to be celebrated, not to be shunned. And you got to protect everybody has the same protections in that matter, because that's what California says you do. So,
yes, absolutely. Micah, is there do you have a website, or do you have a place for people to donate to your campaign? Because it, you know, I think it's really important that we, you know, elevate voices like yours, especially in these local races, because we all know that money wins in these races so often. Do you have a place where people can donate?
So, I mean, the concept is that money wins, but I'm running what's called a pirate campaign, which has been run successfully by in the UK. And so the idea is I don't want to be paid off by anybody in any form mm-hmm. whatsoever. And so instead, what it is I can take if somebody wants to donate a space for a rally, or if somebody wants to. Even if people want to open their own packs or whatever, and they're doing it on my behalf, but I'm not nothing to do with it, that's fine. But I'm not going to directly take funds, because then it ends up in a situation where I'm getting paid off by
I like
so
it.
In that way, when I so some way so that means even if I get into office and like some corporation comes and they'd be like, well, how can I donate to your campaign? You can't, because I don't take donations. You gotta figure out what you're gonna do.
Oh my God! I love it. You know,
so I'm running a pirate campaign.
Good deal. Are you doing a lot of groundwork? Because the visibility by just going and being places, is the key.
Right now, what I'm trying to do, they started the debates early. The registration, the full registration, is the end of this month, and after that is when people usually start campaigning. So I plan to go door to door. I'm a singer, so I'm going to take my speaker down the road and sing along the road, draw attention, and then talk to
That's
people
awesome.
That way. I'm going to shoot a video, a promo, like an ad video. I'll have up online, and then I'm looking for people that want to donate, if anybody has any place that I can do a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I asked to let me know, and then I'm I can arrange to have the people come there.
Do you know what Rahm Emanuel, what he did to get noticed in Chicago? He was out on the streets
mm-mm.
at 6 o'clock
mm-hmm.
in the morning when people were going to work, and on the L train, where just you're out there, hey, how you doing? Shaking hands. There's your
mm-hmm.
he did that. The 2 days before the election, you're out there in their face. And that's what you do. You just go wherever people are at. Don't wait for people to come to you. You go to the people. You get in. That's what Darren Bailey did, too. Darren, I think, has his own private plane because he's everywhere. And he's a farmer, too. But it was like there was not one place in this state he was not, like, all the time, whether it be a little bowling alley or a state fair or whatever. You get out there so people know you care and you're another viable option. Let me ask you real quick, what is the difference between you and whoever the incumbent mayor is? What is the difference as far as platform, but the platform you're going to run on as opposed to what he's running on and what the people want? What makes you different and better?
So, I mean, so far he's running on continuing on with what we have now. Like if I brought up how I feel like, I can see that the crime rate is going up because, you know, we're having like robberies every week and somebody break into a lady's house and strangling her at 4 in the p.m. in the afternoon, all this stuff happening. And so then he comes up and he says, well, my chart says crime's actually been going down every year, and the whole crowd rolls their eyes at him. And then the homeless situation, I can see it's worse. It's really bad. They're everywhere. And he's like, no, look at the chart. According to this chart, it was bad in 2015, but look how low it is now. It's not a problem anymore. So he's trying to say what was going on before was the way to keep it. So I'm coming in trying to say we need to pull money back from the things we don't need and spend it on like sheriff's department and mental health care for the homeless and fixing it. You know, so he wants to keep it he wants to keep it what we were doing before, and I want to change it. So there's a stark shift. And when I had my debate in the American Legion, a few people came up to me and told me I won the debate and I had the best things that they like to hear. And then I went to the newspaper on Thursday, who did an interview with me, which is the Coast News, and the publisher, the head of the newspaper came up and he gave me his card and he said that out of all the candidates he liked what I said, and he's like, the only thing is I'm not a suit, I'm like an independent type alternative, like not in the suit, because of the no shoes thing, and I wore a black shirt with like a clips on the collars with a chain that goes across, kind of more European, like a royal mm-hmm. thing. And so he's like, so you're not a suit, so that's the only thing I would worry about, because there was another guy, he said CP, that was like that, he wasn't a suit, but he had great ideas, and he didn't make it because he didn't fall into the suit category. So he's like, you could still do it, but so that's the only thing you gotta overcome. So so far I've gotten a positive reaction from the people that it seems like they want change.
Yeah. Would you be open to amending the laws there in Encinitas to allow fruit trees to be planted in public areas instead of just because I know that there's specific rules about, if one tree comes out, another one has to go in. Would you be up for extending the laws, or I guess expanding the laws to say fruit trees are okay to plant on city property?
Oh, yeah, of course. I didn't know that was against. I mean, I haven't been able to look into everything. I didn't know that was against the law, so that would be kind of ridiculous. I mean, I think it would be nice if it's also a resource.
Yes.
So, yes, definitely. I mean, definitely. As well,
awesome.
As,
I wish I could
as
vote
well
for you.
As well as rolling back the ban on natural gas and then rolling back the ban on balloons and all that kind of stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, it does seem like everything that they're doing seems to just be punitive instead of helping people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's ban.
A definite disconnect between reality and what's really going on, you know? Here, the chart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The charts are telling me. Polls are telling me. Spreadsheets. But, you know, what are our eyes showing us? And if anyone can see just from the stories on the news, my God, these strangles. We're being shot. We're getting desensitized to the guns. But breaking in and strangling someone, we've got a problem here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are scared we have a problem, but no, the fine. It's almost like, what's this? Who could tell you what a gallon of milk was in the grocery store as opposed to Bush? Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, yep.
Yeah, but it's like...
And everybody was,
Yeah, oh, he's amazing. But it's those little things, you know? You're here. You're one of us. You're living in our world. Not the world of the pollsters and the charts. That's just crazy. I think that's going to probably be that kind of a downfall, their disconnect from reality.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It's so bad. It's obvious to the public. I mean, coming off when I had within the last 2 weeks before my debate, there was four people were robbed at gunpoint on the street corner. Another guy was robbed at Moonlight Beach at gunpoint. And then at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, off Hygieia, some lady was going into her house, and a guy came in behind and pushed her inside. And luckily, the neighbor was able to get him off of her and chase him away. But the sheriff did catch him. But I mean, like, so that's, we're coming off of 2 weeks of that, and then I stated it, and then he's saying, well, look at the charts, so crime's down. I'm like, everybody, like, literally looked at him, and some of them were, like, almost, like, smile, like, they were just rolling their eyes, and then the guy at the The moderator, he's like, just to remind the crowd of any jeering or anything like that, we'll kick you out. So just keep your emotions steady. So, like, everybody knows.
He's a plant.
Yeah, everybody knows he just, you know, but he's expected to be the one that wins, so. Because he's, like,
well,
basically
the
incumbent.
We have a few more minutes left until our 4 o'clock good news report. Lily, Mom, do you have any other questions for Micah? And Micah, how do you pronounce your last name also?
Well, Micah Beyond is my artist, my musician name, and Michael Blobe is my real name. So I hope to have on the ballot. I hope to have Michael, quotation marks, Micah Blobe. So people that don't know me as Micah can find me. And then my website is micahformayor.com. So it's M-Y-E-K-A-H for mayor.com.
Micah, I do have them. Can you hear me, Micah?
Yes,
like
go ahead, Mom.
How many signatures do you need to qualify to get on the ballot, or if you haven't already done it, which that was my question, did you qualify to get on the ballot? And if not, how many signatures do you need to get on the ballot?
So I applied to be on the ballot, I think, in March. And then on the, they said it like on the, I think it's like the 24th or 25th of July is when she's going to contact me again and give me all the forms that I actually have to have people sign. And I think she said it was somewhere around 30, I need 30 signatures. And then once I bring those back, I'm already qualified.
Yeah. So you bring
very
30
good.
To 60. You have to bring 30 to 60. I ran for Congress. In District 49. So you have to have, it's 30 to 60 signatures. And that's just because, you know, if half of the signatures don't match, then you've got another, you know, you've got double the amount that you need.
Okay. So I will work on that. Like I have a lot of people that are going to sign. I don't know if I have 60, but like I said, I haven't started. Like it's tricky because once you get on the ballot, then that's when I was going to start my door-to-door campaigning and stuff. But I think I already have like close to, I'm able to go over 30 just within 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to. And then we could always do, I'm definitely down to volunteer for your campaign too. I did like 2 beach days back to back where I just, you know, went out with my clipboard, me and my husband, and we just went and gathered signatures, and it was actually pretty easy. So, not to downplay the work that's necessary, but I'm definitely down to help out in any way that I can.
Oh, thank you.
That's fantastic. Now, are people generally happy with the incumbent mayor? Are they happy with status quo?
I mean, I don't know the general consensus. There's a lot of explosion against her for just mishandling the city in general. But at the same time, it's coming from the watchdogs, which are like a far, far right. And Jeff is running too. But the issue is the way he comes off is like really too, like, you know, he's not giving constructive points, views on the situation. He's just saying, well, you know, the mayor did this and the mayor did that. And, you know, and I'm like, so you got like, I he's running. So the issue is there's a very vocal backlash against the mayor right now. And to be honest, like online, I'm not seeing anybody that's defending her except maybe like a couple people. When you look at it from an online perspective, it looks like she's totally unsupported. But then I can't say, you know, when you actually hit the street, how many people.
Right.
But if you drive around town, you'll see a lot of signs about like how the mayor sued the residents and all this stuff. And so because she the residents voted for something, and then she took them to court to reverse that vote a few years ago, and so that turned a lot of people sour. So from a visual standpoint, I'm going to say that it seems like it leans against her. And then we got Tony Kranz, who is like a lifetime resident of Encinitas, so a lot of people respect him, but at the same time, people are really mad at him right now because the rail crossing. He was on the board of the NCTD when they made the decision to put the fence through, and he also lives in Leucadia where the crossings are, and he didn't put that as a priority to get done, and so a lot of people are upset, about the rail crossings and Tony Kranz. I mean, so at least the whole Leucadia area that got fenced off is going to blame him for the fence because he was on the board and he didn't push to get the fence stopped or get a crossing put in.
Very interesting.
So, yeah, because the current mayor's not running. It's the deputy mayor who everybody calls her lapdog because he basically agreed with everything that she said. So it's basically like her third term.
You're very home to Joe Biden, huh? You know, it's funny. We had so many Republicans win, and there was no Republican signs anywhere. You know, a few days before, you got all the Democratic signs here, there, and everywhere, and it was a red wave. They just all won. So don't let
interesting.
Don't let that discourage you. Get out there. Yeah, get out and wherever people are at. If people are at the grocery store or at the, I don't even know how different your place is. Do you have big, everyone drives out there. You guys don't even have airports. Get out to, do a little here, there, everywhere where people are at.
There's no airports.
Introduce yourself. Hey, you ready for its change? I'm here. Because we've been stuck with all of these politicians, local, even school board members, because nobody steps up to run against them. And I think
have a suggestion for that, if you need to hear it. If you, there's a farmer's market on, Elizabeth, hang on a second.
No worries.
There's a farmer's market in Leucadia on Sunday morning. That would be a good spot for you to go.
Because
all the locals go there.
But
I don't think you're allowed to. I'm not sure if you're allowed to gather signatures or talk to people. You're not allowed to sell yourself. Sorry about that term, but you're not allowed to sell anything other than the booths that have been permitted there. You're not allowed to sell anything, and that's including yourself. I got kicked out of the Carlsbad Farmers Market for trying to gather signatures.
I had no idea. Interesting.
Okay, I didn't know that, but there is a beach, and then the thing I want to do is I am a singer, so I'm I am a pro level singer. I went to X Factor and I made it from 19,000 to the last 500 people that were considered for the TV show. And
very cool.
So I want to take my speaker to downtown Encinitas is crowded on the weekend. I want to take it down there and walk the sidewalk. The sheriff, I already talked to the sheriff. They can't arrest you unless you have a thing out for money. So I can just take my speaker and go down the sidewalk and stop every few feet and do a song. When people come up to me, I'll be like, yeah, I'm running for mayor. This is my campaign.
I love that idea.
Singing mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rock star. The rock star mayor. Yeah.
There you go.
It's the rock star.
Oh, Sonny Bono.
You know?
Yeah.
I love it. Well, okay. So, Micah, thank you so much for joining us. You're more than welcome to stay around and listen to the rest of the show. But we're going to get moving on with the good news report for an hour every week. We focus only on good news. Thank you so much for coming on. You're welcome back anytime. And then we'll be in touch privately for ways that I can help, and I'm willing to help out in any way that I can to get you to be the next mayor of Encinitas. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Well, hey, God bless you, and best of luck. Best of luck. You sound like a great guy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care, babe. Bye-bye.
Bye, Micah.
Okay. Oh, he's gone. Yay. Okay. So let's get right into the good news if you're ready, Mom.
I am. All right. So the last 10 days or take it. Hold on one second, please, because I'm going to yell at my dog. Hold on. She brought in her bone and she's not allowed to eat it inside. Anyway, the last 10 days, 14 days have been sort of the Super Bowl of the movement that I've been involved in for the last 10 years. There is so much good news that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get to all of it, but I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to start with an article called A Conservative-Controlled SCOTUS is Reversing 5 Decades of Constitutional Abuse. So this presupposes that liberals have shredded the Constitution, right? And it is, I believe that they have over the last 30, 40, 50 years, starting with Roe versus Wade and Casey, those two cases in particular. So they have an agenda, obviously. Liberals do. They call themselves progressives, but I don't see it that way myself. And they have used, it's called law, what we call lawfare, the courts, to advance their agenda because they can't get it done through normal means. a really smart guy named Brian Cates that both Danielle and I follow on Telegram, and I highly recommend this guy because he's just smart, and he writes his own articles, and he forwards many of other people. Elizabeth, how's my audio today?
I think it's good.
Okay. She may be taking a break. You know
what?
So I'm going to read.
I was hearing the dogs upstairs.
That's okay. I just wanted to ask how my audio was.
You sound good.
Okay. So the way this article goes, and it's going to take us into some of the stuff that I'd like to showcase today. For more than 50 years, liberals held control of the Supreme Court, and they used that control to abuse both the Constitution and the citizens whose God-given rights that document enshrines in our nation's laws. The liberal judicial activist abuse of the citizenry took two main forms, the blatant denial of real constitutional rights and the invention of fictional constitutional rights. Current SCOTUS took big steps in correcting both kinds of abuses and releasing 3 specific opinions. While liberals held the court in their iron grasp, the country was forced to enter what could be termed the age of pretending. Starting with Roe v. Wade, the left realized that as long as they had control of the SCOTUS, they could do an end run around all state legislatures. This is what's important with Roe v. Wade. And the U.S. Congress, by simply winning the Supreme Court decision in Washington, D.C., that took whatever current issue they wanted to win in their culture war in America and instantly converted that issue or practice into a constitutional right. Why do the hard work in 50 different states to change old laws or write new ones on this cultural issue when total victory in all 50 states was just one SCOTUS decision away? We were all forced to pretend that the Constitution directly enabled the slaughter of hundreds of millions of preborn infants, while it also didn't allow citizens to carry guns or to pray in their schools. And then in the last week, the Supreme Court once again, under conservative control, began announcing the end of the age of protecting. The country had gotten so used to the liberal bad faith takes on interpreting clear constitutional amendments when the activist judges weren't inventing constitutional rights out of thin air as they faithfully and relentlessly advanced the liberal cultural agenda. Because of that, it is nothing short of seismic to suddenly realize that thanks to President Donald J. Trump, we now have a Supreme Court that is going to interpret the Constitution according to its actual language and the Founding Fathers' intentions rather than whatever
pet issue the extreme left wants to see advanced in the current culture war. The first of these three seismic decisions were released on the morning of Wednesday, June 22nd, and it dealt with the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. This was a perfect example for the court to deal with the first kind of constitutional abuse that liberals had enshrined in the law for going on five decades. How activist judges will look at a clearly written and concise amendment and claim it doesn't say what it says. As time marched on over the past 50 years or so, this kind of underhanded chicanery on the part of the political elite class has become the norm. To crudely paraphrase the great Russian novelist and dissident, I cannot say his name, Fyodor Solzhenitsyn, we knew they were fucking with us. They knew that we knew they were fucking with us. And even so, they continued to fuck with us. That's when you have power and you are corrupt. You get to force people to say and do things that they know are not true. Enforcing blatant lies from the top down forces people at all lower levels to participate in the lying and therefore the corruption. So the first of those three decisions was, I'm going to stop there with the article. The first of those three decisions said that the state of New York cannot place burdens on people applying for concealed carry licenses. They made up all kinds of rules that didn't exist that were unconstitutional because they don't like big, scary guns. And so they think so what they did was they curtailed the rights of regular citizens, and it doesn't matter because criminals aren't going to abide by those laws anyway, no matter what.
Exactly.
They had something that told people you have to give us a good reason, and we get to decide whether it's a good reason for you to have a concealed carry permit, which means that the average citizen cannot carry and keep the arms with him as he goes out into the world. What if he's a jeweler and he has to walk down the streets of New York because, as you say, Elizabeth, all we have is freeways. Everybody either walks in those big cities or they take the L or, you know, the trains, the subways. And so you had to beg and plead and pay and likely not get it anyway to be able to carry your personal protection with you. They also placed all kinds of crazy things about how you could store it in your home and how much ammunition you could have and on and on and on. So they said, we're not trying to take your guns, but they've done everything to make it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms, which is enshrined in the Constitution. It's right there. It says it right there.
Can I interrupt for one second?
Go ahead.
This isn't – okay, so a lot of people are thinking that this is not going to make an immediate impact. But let me just tell you that my husband and I are purchasing our first firearm, and my husband applied for a concealed carry in California. And he applied right after this Supreme Court decision. The person who sold him the gun at the gun store is now telling everybody to put NA, not applicable, in the box for reasons why you need a concealed carry license.
Yep.
They are beside themselves. They're saying that this is, you know, a very, very big deal. Even though it's you know, very hushed in the media, this is a huge win for Second Amendment rights. Okay, go ahead.
It absolutely is, because it's against the Constitution for them to have that box anywhere on any of those applications. The very fact that you have to have an application is one of those things that they've chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. So then they decided, well, you got to give us a good reason. And it turns out, and you guys will probably laugh at this, the only people they're giving concealed carry to were famous people, right? Poor and the regular Joes that were getting hosed by these laws. So you're correct, Danielle. This was a New York case. but it has that's why SCOTUS is so important, and that's why elections matter. They hated Donald Trump because they knew what he was going to do. He told them, I'm going to put conservative judges on the court if you elect me as president. It terrified them, and look what's happened. All right, to continue
Amazing.
With the Second Amendment. Yep, exactly. So even though I know a lot of us have a bad taste in our mouth from 2016 and 2020, they matter. In particular, local elections, like our buddy there, Micah, local elections have national impact, because the more we get this pushback and people, you know, raising their voices locally, statewide, nationally, it matters. It matters. Okay. And so, and when I first came on, Elizabeth was talking about how everybody is just sick of these blue state, quote unquote, progressive, left-leaning causes. So what's happened is they've created this problem, and we're the problem. And we're finally saying, look, we got along to get along, and okay, just let me live my life, let me raise my family, let me work my job, until they push us this far. And that's going to be a theme, and it was my theme last week. It's my theme today. If you push us far enough, we're going to fight back. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
So Second Amendment people who believe in the right to keep and bear arms and to protect their families, they pushed us too far. So now we have this huge Supreme Court decision, and the left melted down, freaking out. People will die, which is what they always say.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but what they leave out is that people are dying right now because of left-leaning policies that have occurred all over in blue states, where they get progressive district attorneys in those very important positions. And, you know, okay. I'm
you know,
a firm believer.
What they forget is that the medical establishment, they are bound by law to save your life. If it is a life-threatening incident, you will be saved. You will not be denied an abortion. There's such a thing as called a DNC. They perform them all the time. And everyone misconstrued this. If you need an abortion,
I'm coming to Roe v. Wade next.
But they have
we're still on Second Amendment, Elizabeth.
No, they won't. That's I just
to Elizabeth's point, okay, so as the liberals were melting down because they see their power being taken away, they've been trying to take our guns for 50, 60, 70 years because they know that's the only reason why they cannot force, what did they call it? The liberal world order. One of the Biden administration guys got up in national television and called it that. The liberal world order. Okay. So the one bulwark, the one bulwark between us and them is our right to keep and bear arms. So you know, they can push their tyranny and they can do it in bits and pieces, but we are free American citizens, and we will shoot them. Okay. Moving on to
– with love and a heart.
Moving on to Roe v. Wade. Okay. So the very next – one bombshell, literally, and it was a bombshell to the baby killers. They're devastated. They did overturn Roe v. Wade, okay, and also Casey. So here's what happened: the Supreme Court back in the 70s, and here we go. And I know I talked about this last week, but it's important in relation to just how much of a change has occurred in the last 14 days. Decided, so they keep telling us that the Second Amendment isn't absolute, even though it says it. In Roe v. Wade, they made up words and phrases and a right that didn't exist, which was, quote unquote, the right to privacy, which was a penumbra. Here we go with the penumbra again, that led to the right to an abortion in all 50 states. Because as Brian Cate said, why fight 50 different states laws when we could do it by judicial activism from the court. And as you say, Elizabeth, the shrieking of the demons was heard all the way to heaven, okay? They're like, we want to kill babies. And the next thing you know, they tried to say that, okay, here's what I need you guys to pay attention to. This was about elective abortions, not just abortions. That word elective is important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to be able to have elective abortions anytime, anywhere, up to the moment of birth. And they said it was tied to the Supreme Court case that decided that we have a right to privacy, which emanated into unlimited abortions, and no state gets to make their own decisions because it is a SCOTUS case. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what they said was, so they're shrieking, they're howling. Okay, they're gonna not do the first story that came out was about a woman in the hospital with an ectopic pregnancy. If you don't know what an ectopic pregnancy is, I'll explain it. That means that the baby is forming in the fallopian tube of the mama.
And I had to explain this to my husband.
Yeah, the mama's life is in danger. So they come out with this story that says that the doctor stood in the consulting room with his attorney for 6 hours while this woman was in pain and going to die from her ectopic pregnancy to decide if he was going to get in trouble from doing an abortion. Let me just tell you something.
He's retarded. He should have his medical license revoked immediately because he's
retarded.
Well,
first of all, it wasn't true, Danielle. They made it up.
I know.
Okay. So an ectopic pregnancy going in to take to help the mama, that is not an abortion. It's an ectopic pregnancy procedure. That's what they keep saying.
To Elizabeth's point.
It is a DNC. It is not an abortion. Okay? There were others. You're going to go to prison if you have a miscarriage and the doctor helps you. And on and on and on and all these crazy, nutso, incorrect stories that are not freaking true. Okay. So every Christian in the United States and millions of us that have been praying over Roe v. Wade for decades, it felt like the death cult lost and that hell had been driven back a little bit. Oh, God.
Hi, Nala.
Can you guys hang on just a second, please? I'm really sorry. Talk among yourselves.
Lily. Hey, Lily, are you still there?
Oh, that was perfect.
I am.
So funny.
Would you mind, Lily, that post, I'm looking for it now, but that post that we both commented on where I was like, I love this so much, where it was basically somebody on Twitter saying, I want to know what all these, you know, anti-abortion people are going to do to help all of these babies. And
are we going to become foster parents? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was something like that. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, she said, for all of you pro-lifers, I want to know what you've ever done to assist any of these people. And it was hundreds of people, maybe thousands of them, just talking about how they actually, like, give money to single moms. They've donated cars to programs for them. They do diapers. They open their homes to, you know, like young pregnant girls and women that, you know, like maybe they don't have another place to stay. They feed them. They do college tuition, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
There were professors on there saying that they give extra grace period and leniency to a single mom. So there's a ton of things that they do. And I wanted to also, if it's okay with you, just to mention, you know, we've been, so in Nebraska at least, we have been fighting for the last 15 years to bring back midwives because they keep trying to create different laws to legislate that midwives cannot be considered, you know, to be professionals. It can be illegal for them to do home births. If we brought back midwives, the people that are worried about maybe they might want an abortion and wouldn't be able to get one need to just find a midwife, because unless you're trying to do a ridiculous abortion in the third trimester or something stupid that you shouldn't be doing anyway, a midwife can give you all kinds of natural herbs and remedies that can help you, you know, if you feel like you need to have an abortion when you're in the first trimester or like the very beginning of the second. There are plenty of things to do. And also, you know, a lot of these stories are coming out where women are coming forward now and saying, like, hey, my doctor told me that these horrible things were wrong with my baby and told me that I needed to abort the baby. I chose not to. My baby was perfectly healthy. Most of
perfectly
the problems
healthy,
that
yes.
are happening are caused when we're taking our bodies to these doctor's offices and hospitals with Rockefeller medicine instead of just, you know, like going back, like with growing food and filtering our own water and things. We need to be growing kind of back to our roots again. And there are
yeah.
so many really beneficial ways that are not, I mean, the abortions, Planned Parenthood was created as a eugenics program anyway to get rid of, you know, like people of color, whatever the term you're supposed to use is currently right now, you know, to get rid of people, poor people, and also, you know, like they wanted to get rid of African-American people, indigenous people, all kinds of people. And that was the point of it. And so, and they're selling body parts of these babies, and they're using aborted fetal cells in food and flavoring for different things and vaccines. So I am not, you know, like I cannot dictate to anybody their own sovereignty about their body. But what I will say is that I think that it would be much less traumatic for the mother and for everyone involved if they needed to get an abortion or wanted to get one, to do it in a natural way in a setting with a midwife where you're not being pressured by eugenicists that are making money off of your suffering.
Right.
True.
Yeah, I totally, yeah, I agree. Mom is
so
back.
But I want to acknowledge what Lily said. Absolutely. If there are certainly they've been using them for millennia. If you want to finish to end a pregnancy, that you can consult with a midwife. Here's the thing. All of the stuff that they're saying is not true. What is going to happen is that all the Supreme Court said was that was bad law. It should have never
yeah.
been a SCOTUS decision to begin with. So now we're doing what we're supposed to do because we are a democratic republic. They're sending these decisions back to states. So far, what I've seen, they have something called trigger laws. Okay. So far, what I've seen, they were ready with the law because they believed that it was going to be overturned. They read the Dobbs case. They realized what they were going for, and they weren't talking necessarily about, you know, the religious aspect of it, none of that. What they were talking about is you can't do that. New Supreme Court back in the 70s made shit up, okay? And you are not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to rob individual states, individual people who elect those representatives to make those decisions for us, and we vote on those elected representatives based on what they tell us they're going to do, based on what we want. Okay? So you make the decision. So what I have seen is a bunch of states jump in and take their power. Okay? And their power is to make that decision based on their constituents. So the state of California is posting billboards all over the state saying, come to California, we'll kill your baby after it's born. Come on. Come one, come all. Moloch.
No, no questions
asked. New York is saying the same thing. Illinois, Elizabeth, is saying the same thing. Come to Illinois.
I think we're looking to have tourism abortion, tourism. That's how much they don't give a shit about human life here. Yeah, it's disgusting. And I just want to say that it is not a viable birth control device. I believe that every single child that's out there that wants to go and have sex should be on birth control. Abortion is not your, oh, shit, I got pregnant. No, that's not how we do things. And that's what it's been used
exactly.
for.
Okay.
I've said my piece.
So the other states that aren't crazy, like Illinois, California, and New York, had laws
and Maryland
ready to go. And right, Maryland's a little crazy too. Okay, have laws ready to go. And these laws say after 15 weeks, it's not legal for elective abortions. All of them add that word, okay? They all say they all have exceptions, obviously, for rape or incest. None of them mention the life of the mother because that's obvious. If the mom is in danger and the only way to save her life is to take her child, then they're going to do that. That's not an elective abortion. That is life-saving surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So even though all of the crazies are the demons shrieking because they're not going to get their baby sacrificed, okay,
mm-hmm.
are telling you something, none of it's true. None of it's true. So elective abortions after 15 weeks, they're going to, and they're not talking about prosecuting the mom. They're talking about prosecuting the physicians for performing the elective abortion after 15 weeks. So every time somebody shrieks, the demons, all of that, you just tell
mm-hmm.
them the truth and keep speaking the truth because it argue with the truth. Okay.
Amen.
And then my very favorite decision that occurred last week was there was this really nice man who was a coach at a school, at a college. Or maybe it was a high school. I think it was a high school.
I think it was a high school.
So I'm going to read. Yep, I'm going to read a couple of lines from Brian Cate's article. The left in this country doesn't really fight the culture war and hasn't for decades. Instead, what they focused on was taking over the country's legal, academic, financial, entertainment,
I'm making
news institutions.
I'm.
Elizabeth, can you
mute, please?
Your
question? But, yeah, I'm sorry. I forget.
That's okay. Entertainment and news institutions, in order to win, in quotes, the fight from the Fed, they enforced unpopular policies on an unwilling and increasingly resistant population. Abortion extremism, gun bans, and outlawing God from public property in a kind of antediluvian forced secularism were always unpopular positions with most Americans. As has long been observed, voters didn't vote for these things. A detached political elite class imposed them by a course while loudly insisting it was for everyone's own good. Okay, I'm going to kill my dog. While the revelation that most Americans have never shared the Democrats' elite's fervent love affair with later-term abortions is fairly new, it's long been established that most Americans never quite got why it was important to ban God from all public property, such as the schools, no matter how condescendingly the liberals explained it. No. The absurd bad faith arguments that one's Second Amendment right to bear a firearm ended exactly the moment one crossed over between private and public property was no better than the bad faith argument that one's First Amendment rights automatically went poof when entering a public school. Democrats and progressives invested an awful lot of time, resources, and money and anger into the utterly repellent bad faith claim that the Establishment Clause in the Constitution meant no one was allowed to be religious on state or public property. And so for more than half a century, Americans were grudgingly forced to pretend this made even the slightest bit of sense as the public schools engaged in vigorous policing of religious speech, attire, jewelry, and activity on their property. Teachers, staff, and students were told to leave their Bible at home, to remove crosses, to watch their language, and so on. So here we go. A football coach was fired for leading a silent prayer on the field. The SCOTUS just held that by firing him, the school district violated his First Amendment rights. The opinion clearly eviscerates the dishonest reading of the Establishment Clause that liberals have used to bludgeon all opposition to their enforced public secularism. Religious expression is indispensable to life in a free and diverse republic. Here, a government entity sought to punish an individual for engaging in a personal religious observance based on a mistaken view that it has a duty to suppress religious observances even as it allows comparable secular speech. The Constitution neither mandates nor tolerates this kind of discrimination. So here we go. So this was the icing on the cake this week. This coach didn't tell anybody they had to pray, but after a game, he goes to the 50-yard line, he bends his knee, and he thanks God for whatever it is he's thanking God for. Maybe for keeping his players safe, maybe for making it a good game, for the weather. Who knows what this guy's saying when he talks to his Father in heaven. But for that blasphemy, he was fired. Okay? Or they told him, if you do that again, you will be fired. The next week, he went to the middle of the field, bended his knee, and started praying. Again, anybody to do it with him? He didn't require anybody to do it with him. You cannot, but what they said was, you can't do that. There's the Establishment Clause. So they've been making stuff up again. That it says that, you know, because the Establishment Clause says, the government cannot neither establish nor keep from establishment of a religion. Okay? So what they read that to believe is that that you can't practice religion in a school. It's not true. They made it up. In a landmark case reversing almost 55 years of the public schools disallowing private prayer on school grounds because it supposedly violated the Establishment Clause, the SCOTUS has ruled 6-3 that a person making a prayer on school grounds does not, in fact, establish their particular religion as the official religion of the entire school district. Duh. No kidding. Okay. So, again, this last 14 days have been amazing. Not only that, they're getting ready to do it again. The U.S. Supreme Court is taking up a major case on election integrity, and Democrats are already panicking. Apparently, in the United States Supreme Court will be hearing a major case on election integrity that promises to strip away the ability of states to rig elections via the courts or executive decrees. The case, known as Moore versus Harper, is docketed to be heard in the nation's highest court next session. It concerns the independent state legislature theory, which holds that the Constitution only gives power to the state legislative branches to change election laws. An obvious point of concern with the 2020 election integrity in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, among other states. So the court is poised to determine the question whether a state's judicial branch may nullify regulations. So here's what's happened. Again, when they can't win in through the normal legislative process, they, why are you laughing at her? Anyway, distracted. Is it through the normal legislative practice? They go through the courts and they get their way that way, like big babies, okay? Because they can't win on normal elections. So it's going to be cool. Now, here we go again where I do some bragging. So do you remember last week when I said that I was kind of bummed because I lost the bet, because I bet all of you out there in Freedomizer Seeds of Change listeners that Wisconsin would be first to declare their slate of electors null and void. Well, I had to eat a little crow last week because Texas was first. Texas sent a letter. Their legislative body said that we are going to nullify our slate of electors because we believe the 2020 election was fraudulent. Ate a little crow, and I asked anybody if they actually took my bet, and nobody spoke up, so that means I didn't have to pay the dollar. Well, Wisconsin did it this week. I sent this to my kid, and Yeah, so they it was actually one county in Wisconsin called what is the name of the county? I can't. It's called Lang Lake County GOP Wisconsin joins the state of Texas in Maricopa. See, so Arizona, you know, that's the thing. I never actually heard them declare it, so I kept saying it for sure it was going to be Wisconsin, to unanimously reject the results of the 2020 presidential election. Fighting 2,000 mules and ballot trafficking through drop boxes, we encourage every other Republican county party in both the state of Wisconsin and all of the states that experience voter fraud and cheating to issue a similar resolution to reject the 2020 election results. So now we have three states that have stood up and said, enough, we see enough fraud that we are going to reject this slate of electors. So
it's outstanding. Now let me ask you, did you see retaliation in Texas though? I remember some sort of a news story, and this makes me think they're retaliating against them for doing this. Did you catch that?
If it hasn't already happened, Elizabeth, and I don't know for a fact either way, it's going to happen because that will tear down every single thing that they have tried to do, and it will also prevent other elections from being stolen. So, yes, there will be retaliation. But I will tell you that isn't going to stop us from fighting. So,
I don't think it's going to stop it. That makes sense. They will do anything to keep this news that you're telling us off of the airwaves. You're not hearing
yes,
this.
And
you're saying
you're absolutely.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, Elizabeth. You often make that statement, and I would challenge that statement because I will tell you, just because they're not putting it on the quote-unquote mainstream media, they have no power anymore. It doesn't matter if they ignore a story. And this all started in 2016. That's the one thing that Donald J. Trump did to us. He drove us away from the old propaganda, new media. I wouldn't even hesitate to call it mainstream now, has taken over. People are not trusting them because they got tired of seeing that kind of garbage, that kind of behavior. No one's listening to them not reporting stories anymore.
I would have to agree with you on
we
this.
Took power away from them. So, yeah. Okay. So here we go, and we got another one from Molly Kenway. She's at the Federalist, a really good news site. If you guys like the story, speaking of new media, Molly Hemingway said the purpose of the January 6th committee is to further the lie that there was nothing seriously wrong with the 2020 election and to criminalize any question of the election. The January 6th riot gives the committee a nice hook, but that's not what they really care about. They want to prevent you submitting the election with irregular, faulty, or anything less perfect election in the history of mankind and from supporting people who fought against those irregularities. In service of this goal, the January 6th committee repeatedly lied about the actual claims Donald Trump's supporters have made about the flaws in the election. While the mainstream media still keeps calling it, quote unquote, the big lie, there were irregularities, there were flaws. You and I, all of us know there was flat out fraud, okay? And they can't put that genie back in the box, even though they're going to continue to cry. I'm not sure, so just somebody doing something next to their phone? Is that you, Danielle? Is that you, Elizabeth?
I was muted.
I'm wobbling down the stairs. I'm sorry. I will stop. All right.
I don't know. Maybe it's Danielle.
You've got a great microphone.
No, that's me.
Okay.
Beer. I got water. I'm carrying the world downstairs, and it's ice. I'm sorry. Let me.
It's okay, Elizabeth. I just wondered who was multitasking while we were on the radio. So the Democrats' show trial is completely one-sided. That's been the knock on it from day one, and why people were able to like Steve Bannon, say, I'm not agreeing to your subpoena because it's the way that the committee was formed is illegal. Okay, they have no. They denied the Republicans that were supposed to be on there. They put a couple of shills on there. Liz Cheney, who, by the way, is going to lose her election in epic fashion, her primary here coming up, and Adam Kinziger, who is not running for re-election. So they put a couple of shills on there. Yeah. So, anyway.
Mention Liz Cheney, the evil Satan comes from the ground, and stop that radio show.
Yes. All right. So the next thing that
she was
that
definitely
going to
elected, though. You know, I kind of feel bad for her. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you know what? She's a mess. I agree, Danielle. So.
Oh my.
I'm going to end with something that with an article about the FBI and the election. But I want to talk a little bit about Clarence in that new lady. What is her name? On the SCOTUS. I don't even know her name. Ms. Jackson, right?
We'll call her Ms. Jackson. ABC News,
and I want you guys to take a breath on this one because they have called Republicans bigots and racists for a very long time. And if you scratch a liberal, you'll find a big, fat bigot, okay? So both Politico and ABC News said that Ms. Jackson, wow, first black Supreme Court justice, historic. Can you believe that they would say, speaking of why we don't trust them, Elizabeth, and why no one listens, why they have no power anymore, that they would shape their face to say that Ms. Jackson is the first African-American Supreme Court justice? What the hell is wrong with these fucking people? Clarence
Public
Thomas, like a word.
Do you remember when he was – I listened to that entire Senate hearing with – it was disgusting. But when he said
with
this
Ms.
is
Jackson.
A public – no, I'm talking Clarence and the woman, the black woman that accused him of sexual harassment and what an asshole he was, and we can't put him on the court. And he said at the end of it, he said Joe Biden was a senator and was such an asshole back then. Now he's a bumbling moron. But back then he was an absolute asshole. And he was hammering. It was evident. Anita Hill was who it was. And at the end, Clarence looked at everyone, and he was so upset he could barely speak because what we have witnessed is a modern-day lynching of a black man who wouldn't –
And there's still today. So
this is even extra insulting to do this to this man. That's fine.
So corrupt media's lies about Clarence Thomas aren't just bad journalism.
They
are deliberate smearing. So here's another case that didn't turn out as well was the one about vaccines. Okay. There was a case about vaccines, and as far as I know, it was overturned, and so it was affirmed. But the plaintiffs said the reason why they wanted to be able to deny the vaccine, the plaintiffs said, was because it was made with aborted fetal cells. The original strain, and this is the reason why my religious exemption was granted, because as far as I'm concerned, taking that vaccine was a mortal sin, because the original strain was made from aborted fetal cells. Okay. So this week, Axios tried to smear Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas this week by falsely claiming that he said COVID-19 shots were manufactured using aborted children, a factually true statement. Clarence Thomas said COVID vaccines are created with cells from aborted children, one Axios headline blared. So first of all, they're intimating that it isn't true. It is true. Second of all, they're intimating that Clarence Thomas said it. He did not say it. He was reading the plaintiff's argument. The basis for Axios' blatant lie about the justice stemmed from one of Thomas's dissents after the highest court in the land refused to take up a case challenging New York's COVID shot mandate. One look at the dissent published on Thursday shows that Thomas was simply quoting the petitioner's argument, which stated some healthcare workers have a religious objection to COVID shots due to their origin from abortion-derived fetal cell lines in testing, development, or production. Petitioners are 16 healthcare workers who serve New York communities through the COVID-19 pandemic. They object on religious grounds to all available COVID-19 vaccines because they were developed using cell lines derived from aborted children, Thomas wrote. Despite the fact that Thomas was obviously not taking a direct stance on the ethics of vaccines, corrupt corporate media outlets such as Politico, NBC News, twisted the justice's repetition of the plaintiff's claims. And they even went so far as to say that Thomas was somehow spreading a debunked claim. It hasn't been debunked. And so this is the Politico writer. Justice Thomas cites debunked claim that COVID vaccines are made from cells from aborted children. The truth is they are. And second of all, he was reading from the plaintiff's petitioner's words. So they have done this to Clarence Thomas because he doesn't vote the way they do. They call him Uncle Tom. They're a bunch of freaking bigots. And then for ABC News, national news, to say that she is the first Black Supreme Court justice is disgusting. My final story today is from PJ Media, another really good website that I like a lot. Exclusive, FOIA reveals progressive money fueling FBI, DOJ, leftist activists, and election official coordination. They're getting the evidence that the DOJ helped 2020. A strange constellation has emerged through public record requests of coordination between progressive funders, federal authorities, corporations, state election officials, and leftist organizations. FOIA information requests have uncovered oddball and opaque relationships between some state election officials, federal officials, corporations, progressive activists, and those trying to influence the conduct of these same election officials. These relationships extend to junkets that include baseball games, travel, and even data exchanges between state officials and outside progressive groups. So they're honing in on the Zuckerbucks that changed our election. The FOIAs were submitted by the Public Interest Legal Foundation and were aimed broadly at election officials across the United States. While no election official in a state that now prohibits private funding of elections has applied for new funding, something stranger and more dangerous has emerged from the public information request. In one email, we find the Democracy Fund, a hyper-funded progressive money source, is organizing state officials and third parties to discuss election administration. So here's what's going to happen with these FOIAs and with this information. Because we've long said that the election officials were in on it. They have been for a long time. But Danielle first noticed this in the Bernie campaign back when they flipped California from Bernie to Hillary. They're using these state election officials to sway elections. And if they can make that connection, the whole ball of wax melts. So, So they've got information that these election officials were communicating with these progressive organizations only to flip these elections. And so we are implacable. We are not going to stop. You know, now we've got three states that have turned over their flipped their electors. There's more to come, and I can't think of better news. Anybody have any questions about the information that I shared today? Any comments? I'm excited about what I got to share today. It was lots of good news.
I just want to say that I'm not trying to be like the doom and gloom, but it just always amazes me that it's not even on the scroll, you know? They they whip up a smoke screen about this. And that's my only where I'm coming from. I'm right on board.
And I feel you, Elizabeth, and I hear you. And I'm still going to challenge that by saying I don't believe that it matters anymore, because there are millions of us that are watching it all closely, that are participating, that are reading, that are understanding, that are running in local elections, that are campaigning. We're fired up. So it doesn't matter what the mainstream media does or doesn't. Usually it's more important what they don't report on. We have gone past that point.
That's interesting. Interesting. Perhaps before you leave to feed the chickens, we could talk about, did you watch Tucker and his interview in Brazil at all this week?
I did. I haven't seen it. And, you know, it's interesting because I used to, I stopped paying for cable a long time ago because they pissed me off during 2020.
I was okay, too.
Yeah. So
I was too, but
paying cable. Yep. But there's a channel on Telegram called Midnight Writer. Danielle, do you have the clip that Elizabeth wants to talk about?
It's not so much a clip. It's the fact that he mirrored what happens in dictatorial countries where they imprison your political enemies and silence the media, and that's exactly what's happening here, and it was just fascinating. He almost blew the bubble off of America with that show this week, because we're not
hearing. He's coming
very
close, isn't he? So, Danielle, can we open with that next week? If you, between you and Elizabeth, can we see if we can find that clip?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want you all to have a great week. I'm going to go out and obviously take care of my chickens like I always do at this time of day when I'm home. I want everyone to have a great 4th of July. Celebrate our country. It's the greatest country in the world in spite of its flaws. I'm going to eat blackberries and peaches to celebrate my independence from big groceries.
I was at the farm before I came here, and I'm traveling with my family right now. We've got the grill going. We got a whole boatload of cherries from my uncle's neighbor.
Now that is my favorite fruit
cooking cherries.
Of all of the fruits. Yes, cherries.
Now what would you do with it?
Eat them.
If you got a bunch of those.
I would eat them. I would eat 100 of them until I want to barf. I guess most people would want to make pie, but I would eat cherries until I barf. That's what I do. I always buy myself at least, you know, that a 2-pound bag of them every year, and I eat them.
I'm going to do a mason jar with some bourbon and some cherries and see how that goes, and then make some cherry juice. And yeah, we're kicking it. We are kicking it, and happy 4th of July to you, Carla. Thank you ever so much.
I love you, Carla.
Lily, get my phone number. I take that back. Go on my Facebook page. I did a live stream today of making the fermented feed.
I will do that. So I have sad news, though. Somebody stole my chicken. So... I no longer have them. We put them to bed. They were all fine because, like, our little waves, I love them. They just, you know, when it starts to get dark, they, like, innately go where they go to bed, and then they squawk at us, to wait for us to come shut the coop. And so we had it shut, and I have a lock, and I should have just locked the stupid padlock, but it's never been an issue, and the girls, you know, like, help me with them and sometimes misplace the keys. So anyway, we put a stick in there so that the, you know, like nothing can get in or out. It's like an animal.
Right.
And then I shut the coop. Well, the next morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, when we went out to feed them, the coop was closed and the run was closed and all that, they were gone. And there's no way my chickens are very smart, but they were not smart enough. You had to close the run. And there weren't, like, if it had been an animal, there would be, like, feathers all over that. There were none. So,
right.
Somebody
so
God, how many
I had six. So I'm just waiting until I move, and then I'm going to get chickens again.
Back.
I think it's a sign that I need to move anyway because, you know, they killed all my bees. Now my chickens are gone. So I'm just, you know, like preparing to move and figuring out where I'm moving to. And then, because that's a sad thing, like for karma for whoever did this, is because I got those chickens specifically to feed my community with and my neighborhood. And so, you know, now I cannot feed any of those people because I do not have chickens anymore. And I thought about just, like, getting more, but I'm not going to do that right now because if I'm going to move anyway, you know, it doesn't really make sense. But thank you. And I will still learn how to ferment and feed.
I had a free-range chicken that I drove from one end of San Diego to the other that, like, sat on my son's lap. I think maybe you can get some chicks and move them.
Yeah,
you can,
I'm considering what to do because I was thinking of how hard it's going to be to move cross country potentially with, you know, two dogs and four cats and the little animals and chickens and you know what I mean. So it might just be better to get settled and get everything built and then do it.
Don't move.
I agree.
Don't move. Stay in sight and buy some more chickens and say, fuck you. I still have chickens. Really, shame on them.
Or move out here and be a part of our community that, you know, we could definitely, it's like my zombie apocalypse plan. Like you're definitely part of my zombie apocalypse plan for sure. I think everybody on the
I love you, Danielle. You would be the A team to be with during the apocalypse for sure.
She is. She definitely
and
is.
All right.
Peace out, you guys. I'll see you next week. Okay.
Love you, Carla.
Love you. Bless you guys.
Have fun.
Bye now.
Your mom is the best.
She is. And she just friended me on Facebook. And I'm loving her stuff. I was watching her chicken feed video when I was at the farm. And I showed my uncle.
Yeah.
And he said his big grain thing, it's huge, huge silo he has. And it used to be $1,500 to fill it up. Then it went up to $3,000. And he said now it's over $4,000 to do it. They just keep raising the price of food. And I encouraged him to never get rid of those chickens because he's going to be the only one in the area to have them because they're targeting people like him.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Good. I'm sorry. You know, go and get some more chickens just to be the defiant. You know what? Sorry, it didn't work because I still have chickens. Even if they buy
I'm not sure. I might. There's a woman that I really like that raises the chicks and is better for my asthma because she, like, because I have a hard time keeping them inside with me, you know, and being able to still breathe really well. And so, well, like the feathers, because I have to keep them in the bathroom when they, like, live in the house because of my dogs and cats. It's, like, the only place or my bedroom. Otherwise, the cats bother them. So.
Okay.
But just it's like not a super ventilated area, you know, and so my allergies, I'm just really allergic because it dusts in their feathers, but outside it's no problem. So this lady raises them until they're like a year old and then she sells them at a year old. So I could just go get some, you know, like adult already laying chickens.
Yeah, laying hens.
Yeah, and
or
she sells them, they're like $15 or $10 a chicken.
Get one of
I'm really thinking about buying some. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, they have those little sheds you can keep lawnmowers and such things in. Get one of those and just improvise and make it a chicken coop.
Well, she's got a coop.
I've thought about it. I'm just, yeah. I have a whole coop. You know, I have an entire shed that I turned into a coop, and they have a huge run that I built. Because then they can be free range when my dogs aren't outside, but when my dogs are outside, then they have to be in their run just to keep everybody safe.
Because
my one dog, you know, she's a farm dog. She's like a hunting dog, and she doesn't want to eat them, but she wants to, like, get them and play with them, and she doesn't, you know, it's just, it will kill them because she's too rough. But she's, it's, like, instinctual for her, you know, so I don't know how to train that, like, away from her, you
know,
because she just doesn't know. I don't think so either. She's black mouth cur and border collie, so, you know, her mom works on a farm herding sheep, and her dad works on the same farm, you know, like killing anything that comes into the barn to try to eat the feed and stuff. So it's just very ingrained in her, you know, like if it's a small thing that she's supposed to eat it, or not eat it necessarily, but, you know, but like do something with it.
Right.
And so she just wants to like play with them, but it kills them.
I'm trying to add you to this Facebook group real quick, because I'm going to tell you that this is the dog that is in the background a lot on the farm. Her name's Nala. And the last two pictures in this group that I just added you to, that's Nala. And she eats everything. Mice, rats. She, you know, anytime a chicken goes
really?
Near my mom, she goes nuts. Yeah. But this is our little pig.
Oh,
I just sent it to the Seeds of Change group. I was trying to add it earlier to the chat for the show, but I haven't quite figured out how to do that yet. However, this is our Nala. She's our little pixie Belgian Malinois rescue, who just is kind of a multi, you know, utility farm animal, man. She can climb walls. She can herd things. She can protect. She kills mice and rats.
That's amazing.
She's beautiful.
She's really pretty. She's kind of, yeah, she's a pixie. She tries to be good, but she's a Malinois. But, you know, have you guys ever been around a full-bred Belgian, even like a quarter-bred Belgian Malinois? Like, these things are so high energy, right?
Yeah.
Well, I know my
yes,
sister,
they're beautiful, but I don't think I can have the patience and discipline to have one.
Yeah, and she kind of runs the farm, though, right? So she's good, like, she's really good, very high energy, but she's got a whole backyard she can run around all day, you know, and harass chickens and kill mice and kill the skunk. She stunk.
You're kidding.
But she killed a skunk. Yeah. Not too long ago. She's not like, yeah, poor, I feel bad for my mom because.
She's a teacher.
Yeah, well, she's such a good girl.
She's
a
sounds awesome.
She
is it okay?
She's protecting the homestead. That's great. My sister had blue
what's
healers.
What's that, Lily?
Oh, no, it's okay. Elizabeth can finish.
Oh, go ahead.
My question was like off topic anyway, so you can finish.
We can switch topics at any moment.
No, yeah.
That's the beauty of the show.
Yeah,
is we do that.
Exactly, exactly. I was just going to play the second and the third and fourth agreement, but I kind of like the conversation more. But Lily, what were you going to say?
Well, I just wanted to ask if it would be okay if, I know the good news part is like done, but I didn't know if it would be okay if I shared really quickly like two good news things that I was thinking about.
Absolutely. We cannot have too much good news.
Okay.
More of
that's what
more
I kind of felt like. And I know that like I've seen like everyone seems to be really freaking out about CERN because, you know, they're
I was just gonna
turning
say
that
we need to raise
Hadron
that
Collider. Yeah, yeah, they're turning that Hadron Collider onto its fullest capacity that they've turned it onto yet. And so people are really, really afraid, which is the exact opposite of what we really need to be doing at this time, because this is the good news. The good news is that the Hopi prophecy, the Hopi have never been wrong. The story goes that that tribe specifically in the origin story was given all of the prophecies while other tribes were only given some, because they waited till the last to get their ear of corn, that Masao. And interestingly, Masao is like the deity that came to all of the tribes, but he very much represents like the same kind of thing as Yahshua or Jesus, because he came, he'd been in a spiritual battle, so he was bloody and injured, and he had that crown of thorns around the top of his head. And he came to the tribes and was offering them an ear of corn, and the Hopi took the last ear, and so they were given the name the Hopi for the peaceful ones. And they were also told that they were supposed to be the caretaker of all the prophecies and to share those prophecies and to maintain the balance of the world in Hotavia. We don't know what it is, but there is something that was buried there that is very sacred. And if it is you know, like removed, then the balance is no longer restored. And I believe that that's what happened because we're clearly very out of balance and inverted and backwards. Mm-hmm. But anyway, their prophecy, they're like arguably to me anyway, their most like beautiful and important prophecy for this time that we're in was the era of purification and restoration. And they talked yeah. about a time when like when the purification was coming to a close, which I believe that the signs are pointing that way, right? That it's coming to a close. That at that time, something was going to happen that would split the timeline in two. And there would be a third Earth and there would be a fifth Earth. And this is why I think they were talking about CERN, right? Because they said people who are stuck in fear, you know, low, dense vibrations of fear, not like righteous anger, but like kind of like hatred, anger, you know, and greed would be stuck in a hole in the third Earth. We don't know exactly what that means. You know, we can speculate. But then this is why I think it's CERN, because they said that for the fifth Earth, there would be a portal. And if you're having the vibrations that match the frequencies of love and compassion and, you know, like trying to like balance your own inner self as well as, you know, caretake Mother Earth in any way that you could, then you would go through the portal into the fifth Earth. And CERN specifically has said that they are trying to get into the fifth dimension or fifth Earth. That's exactly what they're trying to do because they know that their time is up. And that whoever is stuck here is not going to probably have a really fun time. And so because of what these 13 bloodlines have done and whoever controls the 13 bloodlines, right? So because I don't think that the 13 bloodlines are like the end all. I think that there is something above them. But regardless, so everyone is like freaking out and really afraid. My suggestion for the fourth and the fifth is to abstain from alcohol because, you know, they call it spirits for a reason, and it's an Arabic term that means body eating spirit, alcohol. And in English, it translates to a ghoul, and there are actual, like, rituals that they do that call for utilizing alcohol to get the person's vessel weakened and to be able to extract their soul. Now, I don't know how much I believe about that because I think that with, for something like that to occur, you have to have, like, full informed consent. But regardless, you know, it's probably not a good idea to do that because that'll lower your vibration. Staying hydrated is really important. And then just visualizing or praying about or behaving as though you're already in a fifth Earth, you know, and visualizing like what you want that to look like and be like is what is going to get us through that portal. And so I just wanted to say that because it's actually really, really good news. Every time they do CERN, it destroys part of them. It does not destroy us. It, you know, it creates little Mandela effects that are obnoxious, but it doesn't actually, you know, like alter everything in, you know, like a horrible way. I also think that's why they release Stranger Things, because it's an entire disclosure of MKUltra programming and CERN. But they, I think, want people to, you know, manifest the mind flayer and the hive mind and the destruction of everything, when really what they're doing is a beautiful thing for us, because everything that they do ends up helping us in some way if we can utilize it for that and recognize the benefit, right? Like Facebook, for example, the controlled opposition, you know, DARPA program to data mine and mind consciousness, but we used it to find each other and create huge movements within our own people and communities and educate each other. So I'm just positing the idea that I think that maybe that is what is going to cause this split that the Hopi were talking about. And we could, you know, be ascending into a fifth Earth where it is then the period of restoration, where balance is restored, where sovereignty is restored. And that would be really beautiful. And then we could celebrate together on July 6th. So I just wanted to share that because I just know that everyone I've seen really like posting about CERN is like very like afraid about what's going to happen. You know, but we will be fine regardless. And I think that was part of the whole like vaccine situation, because they specifically said that to enter through any gateway or portal, you have to have your DNA intact. So that doesn't mean if you got the vaccine, you couldn't go to the fifth earth necessarily, because, you know, like detox protocols, a lot of people got saline. So not to like discourage anyone that, you know, like may have gotten that and is listening, but I really do think this is our time to really focus our manifestations on what we want and not what we are afraid of.
Okay. I love you so much. I'm going to have to insist right now. I know, Elizabeth, you've got a response to that, but I have to insist on a 10-minute video that we've played here before. But I really want everybody to enter into what may come with Lily's thoughts at the, you know, the center. And also, I think there's a big part of the collective. I'm sure you're both aware of Graham Hancock, right?
Yes.
So that whole community and the opening of minds, I'm going to insist on a 10-minute video that we've played before of those prophecies, because it's not just Hopi. It's the tomes that back up everything Lily said about the Hopi prophecies. It's the same thing. It's the same message. And I just want that message to be set again. Are you guys game for
a
10-minute video?
Yes, you can find that message in all religious texts. It's very similar in all spiritual texts and all teachings. And that is what I love about it, because all of these prophecies, you know, revelations, whatever, they're all the same. They just are worded slightly differently, but they say the exact same thing. And I think that's beautiful.
Exactly. All right, let's do this. This is actually Thoth prophecy. So 10 minutes, 3, 2, 1, let's go.
Sounds good.
We live at a crossroads. There's no doubt. We all feel it. We all know it. I don't think it's the first time that mankind has stood at such a crossroads, but here we are now facing it and hopefully dealing with it. I'm going to close with a reading from the Hermetica, from the Hermetic texts. Hermes was the Greek version of the ancient Egyptian god Thoth. The Romans knew him as Mercury. And in a dialogue, the Hermetica, many of them are dialogues between Thoth, Hermes, and various pupils of his. And in one called the Asclepius, a lament is presented. And it's like a prophecy. It's a bit like the Mayan prophecy. Egypt seems to stand as a metaphor for the whole world in this, and to my mind, for the world in our time. This lament, this prophecy, is speaking directly to us. So it's Hermes speaking, and he's saying to Asclepius this: "Do you know, Asclepius, that Egypt is an image of heaven? Or to speak more exactly, in Egypt, all the operations of the powers which rule and work in heaven are present in the earth below. In fact, it should be said that the whole cosmos dwells in this our land, as in a sanctuary. And yet, since it is fitting that wise men should have knowledge of all events before they come to pass, you must not be left in ignorance of what I will now tell you. There will come a time when it will have been in vain that Egyptians have honored the Godhead with heartfelt piety and service, and all our holy worship will be fruitless and ineffectual. The gods will return from earth to heaven. Egypt will be forsaken, and the land which was once the home of religion will be left desolate, bereft of the presence of its deities. O Egypt, Egypt, of thy religion nothing will remain but an empty tale, which thine own children in time to come will not believe. Nothing will be left but graven words, and only the stones will tell of thy piety. And in that day, men will be weary of life, and they will cease to think the universe worthy of reverent wonder and worship. they will no longer love this world around us, this incomparable work of God, this glorious structure which he has built, this sum of good made up of many diverse forms, this instrument whereby the will of God operates in that which he has made, ungrudgingly favoring man's welfare, this combination and accumulation of all the manifold things that call forth the veneration, praise, and love of the beholder. Darkness will be preferred to light, and death will be thought more profitable than life. No one will raise his eyes to heaven. The pious will be deemed insane, the impious wise. The madman will be thought a brave man, and the wicked will be esteemed as good. As for the soul, and the belief that it is immortal by nature, or may hope to attain to immortality, as I have taught you, all this they will mock, and even persuade themselves that it is false. No word of reverence or piety, no utterance worthy of heaven will be heard or believed. And so the gods will depart from mankind, a grievous thing, and only evil angels will remain, who will mingle with men and drive the poor wretches into all manner of reckless crime, into wars and robberies and frauds and all things hostile to the nature of the soul. Then will the earth tremble and the sea bear no ships. Heaven will not support the stars in their orbits. All voices of the gods will be forced into silence. The fruits of the earth will rot. The soil will turn barren, and the very air will sicken with sullen stagnation. All things will be disordered and awry. All good will disappear. But when all this has befallen Asclepius, then God, the creator of all things, will look on that which has come to pass, and will stop the disorder by the counterforce of his will, which is the good. He will call back to the right path those who have gone astray. He will cleanse the world of evil, washing it away with floods, burning it out with the fiercest fire, and expelling it with war and pestilence. And thus he will bring back his world to its former aspect, so that the cosmos will once more be deemed worthy of worship and wondering reverence, and God, the maker and maintainer of the mighty fabric, will be adored by the men of that day with continuous songs of praise and blessing. Such is the new birth of the cosmos. It is a making again of all things good, a holy and awe-inspiring restoration of all nature, and it is wrought inside the process of time by the eternal will of the Creator. I don't know whether we're going to face some terrible global catastrophe or not. I certainly hope not. I hope it will not come down to misery and horror. Awful, awful things. There's enough of that in the world already. But I do remember what all the ancient texts say. There isn't a single flood myth. There isn't a single story of the destruction of past civilizations that don't implicate humanity in the story somewhere. Our own behavior, what we do, is part of what we're bringing down on the world right now. What we are manifesting in the world, that is what is coming towards us. We are the authors of this thing, and we can change the story if we want to change it. I firmly believe that. Are we looking at the traces of a forgotten episode in human history? I think so. I think that's what's going on here. And because we've forgotten it, because we are a species with amnesia, because we are so much a mystery to ourselves, perhaps it's because of that that we're so lost and so troubled today, so haunted by the sense of something missing, something that we need to know about ourselves. For the ancient Egyptians, the essential mystery of human existence concerned our spiritual essence, that we are participating in this theater of experience that we call life and the world in an immense endeavor aimed at the perfection of the soul. I've talked with shamans in the Amazon, and when I've asked them, what do you think is the problem with the world? What's the problem with the West? They say it's very simple. You've severed your connection with spirit. You've cut the link. And you have to restore that link if you're going to move forward from here. You can't move forward from the place you're in if you don't restore the connection to spirit. And that seems to me the most fundamental task that all of us now face. Not these exterior trappings of power that have brought such horror and misery to the world. This is the moment of crossroads that we stand at. None of us can effect changes on a macro level. It's impossible to do so. But we can make changes on a micro level. We can make changes in our own lives. We can make changes in our immediate surroundings. Changes for the better. Changes driven by love. So overwhelming is the notion of global destruction. No, I can't stop that, but I can stop what I'm doing to contribute to it. And if we all do that, then I believe a huge change in consciousness will come, and the world can move on, and we can look forward to a future for our children and our children's children, and once again bring this bright, beautiful, jewel garden of a planet, bring it back to the place it should be in our lives.
Okay, so I cut off Elizabeth, so if you want to start with thoughts, you're more than welcome. If not, Lily, you can take.
My nephew is playing a little game, and he's like, I'm like, you got to move, you got to go back on here. absolutely right. And by the way, I am not having any luck with this grill. The charcoal will not light, and I'm like, I have all this food, I can't cook it. But absolutely right. So, like, instead of me being like, fuck this, we're having fun. We'll cook upstairs if we need. It's how you react to your environment. They've been just pummeling us with a tsunami of it's how you respond to everything. And if you keep an even head and it's like, you know what, I have faith in God and God wins and this is the tribulation and I am simply going to keep my faith and have a high vibrational day, the world can collapse around you and you're still smiling and you're going to be the one to ascend up and everything. You know what I'm saying? You're walking through the ashes. You're the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Am I saying those guys? The three Israelites that made it through the fires with their faith. That's how we are. And it's exactly how you respond to your environment is what he was talking about towards the end. And that's how we get through this. And as far as, like, you know, this whole CERN, when I heard about it, I'm like, oh, my God, what next? They're opening the portals of hell. And, of course, they're ruining yet another holiday for us not to celebrate because you can't drink.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Exactly. This is why we can't have nice things or cold beer, you know. And like around here,
you can do whatever you want. It was just a suggestion. That's all. I can't tell you, but
the whole thing when it came out on Facebook was like, oh my God, now we got something really serious to worry about. But as I was, things were coming through, it was like, I experienced some really bad vibes things, and I'm like, wow, what is going on? And then I looked up into the sky, I think Friday, and our sky was heavily laden with EMF. Like, you know when the clouds get, like, that ripple of, like, the water ripple going there? You get something.
Uh-huh.
Something is turned on. They turn something on. Well, you know what? They turn that fucking thing on earlier than now. It's already been turned on. They might turn it up a little bit more. But it's been on. It's been activated. And it's simply... You know, it wasn't the end of the world, and it may have affected, you know, you notice some people are, as always, batshit crazy and turned up to 10. But if you keep your head, you're going to make it through. And that's one thing they don't want us to know, that we do still have control. We have control of our reaction to everything. And they want to take away our control and get us in this constant fight and flight mode where you can't think. That's where they want us.
Yes.
And that's when you're not going to be able to ascend because you're just simply not thinking and you're in fear all the time. And that was my take on this whole Stern thing was like, you know what? I'm simply going to go about my day. And you know, I'm continually not listening to the news, and I'm having a good day. And until, you know, aliens come falling down from the sky or, you know, bombs are being dropped upon my backyard, I'm not going to worry about anything. And that's how I'm living my life. And just trying to be as happy and as nice to people as possible. And I'm going to get, you know, so far it's working for me. So that's my take on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Because, you know, even like in the Bible, for example, it says, you know, like to enter through, you have to be childlike. And I think that means we just have to be having joy and laughter, you know. I mean, as Ty always says, you know, like as the bombs were dropping, the children were all still playing and laughing, and we need to be like that. And that is how we ascend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Find your inner child and nurture it and play with it and allow it to play. Yeah. Have fun.
And I have, I'm just going to share very briefly because it's like a longer thing. So I'm going to do actually like a live cast. Probably not today, probably tomorrow, about it. But I had this like weird breakthrough happen to me this week, and I had already like mentally and spiritually healed my inner child, you know, because I'm like pretty good with mentalism and my spiritual connection is fine, I think. But my body, right? Like I've never really integrated my body. I've always kind of thought of it as like this like vessel that I don't really like care about, you know, but it's here and I'm stuck with it kind of thing. And so I was prescribed benzodiazepines for PTSD when I was a teenager. So like almost half my life now I have been on these. And they were prescribing me like four times the recommended amount for years, which I didn't know. Like you're only supposed to take no more than 3 milligrams. And I was prescribed 8 milligrams daily. And so but I didn't know, and I was too dumb to research it, you know, because it was really helpful at first. Like it did really, you know, like help me and allow me to function. But you're only supposed to take it for a couple of weeks to like 1 or 2 months. And so I've been withdrawing from it, and I've gotten down to 0.25 milligrams, which is huge for me. And then today I broke that pill into fourths. So I'm just taking like a little tiny bit. And you know, the withdrawal is like dangerous. It can kill you. Like seizures happen, all these things. And so I was actually like convulsing the other day because I was so dumb. And I was given a message that my last block was that, and I needed to remove that, and then, like, all the blocks would be removed, and then it was all, like, Wheel of Fortune and Homecoming and, like, great things, right? And so I'm stubborn. But I was told, think of a way that you'd never think of, and that's how it'll work. And I was like, thanks, guys. Like, think of a way I would never think of. And so I was like, okay, well, I would never think of doing it cold turkey because I did that once and had seizures, and it wasn't really, like, great at all. So I tried it, and of course that didn't work. And I did this, like, meditation, and I, like, broke down and had to take half, you know, of one. And I was like, well, I failed everyone, including myself and the ancestors, and it's all ruined. You know, I was having, like, kind of a pity party for myself. And I realized it was my ego that I let down, not myself and not anybody else, just my damn ego, because I just wanted to do it a certain way and get it done really fast. But I realized when I was doing that my body was working against me because I hadn't even discussed with my body what I was doing, which sounds really stupid, but I started talking to it, and now I'm able to withdraw with just vitamin B6, vitamin B12, magnesium, and that's it. And I just talk to my body when it starts to like freak out and throw a tantrum. And I think that our body is the representation of our inner child. It's three-dimensional. It throws temper tantrums when it doesn't like something that you're doing, but it's also very resilient, you know, and like quite amazing in its abilities. And so for me, when I talk to it firmly but kindly, you know, like I would talk to my children, like, hey, this is what we're doing. This is why we have to do it. If you don't do it, here's the consequence. Then it started responding to me and listening, like working in my favor. And so I just wanted to share that because I feel like while we're trying to integrate, you know, our mind and our spirit and stuff, we have to also like, and we're talking about our inner child, you know, we have to integrate our body along with it. And I think that's why there's been such an attack on you know you have to, like, have a certain body type, look a certain way, wear these kinds of things, poison your body, mm-hmm. you know, because then we keep ourselves separate from that. And I feel like part of that is how we, and, like, you know, it's also important to be ascension potentially, like how we integrate our inner child and heal it. So I might be crazy, but that was an experience that I had, like, it's been very brief.
No, you're not crazy.
That's
you're
amazing.
Human. And that's the thing, that we are not allowed to be human. They want to pigeonhole us with this and that condition, and it's the human condition. And everyone is allowed. Here's the thing. Everyone is allowed to be different, and that's the one thing that they're trying to strive for, but they're doing it in a really totalitarian type of way where, you know, you must be like this because we say. And it's just like live and let live. Everyone is a unique spirit, and you should not be chastised for being uniquely you. And when you say, oh, and I was stupid, no, you weren't stupid. Trusting the doctors. The doctors were telling you this, and you trusted them. You know, unfortunately, we can't trust doctors.
Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is mind over matter is amazing. Back in the day, we used to like to do.
On that note,
mm-hmm.
Ty is with us.
Hey, Ty, how you
doing? It's me. I have to use a different phone. My phone got turned off.
Ironically, my next thought was, you can always talk yourself off the ledge. You can talk yourself off the ledge, and it's all a mental game. No matter what, you can write through whatever. If you
indeed
got your head in the game, and you're the one that's, you know, in control, you can
ooh, Elizabeth.
Tell yourself it's going to be
okay. I'm
hearing
an echo.
It might be the traffic. Are you in the car? It might be the traffic. I know earlier I was walking down the stairs and my glass of ice was making so much racket. They're like, what is going on?
Would you mind calling back in? Can you like hang up and call in?
Yeah.
I think it might be.
Yeah, I'll try.
Or actually, you know what? Ty.
Right.
Why don't you call in again? Because it started when you came in. So.
All right. Okay. Hold on.
We have some kind of a reverb of some sort. Huh. That's craziness.
Were you guys hearing that too?
Yes. And it was
I was even hearing it when you were talking, Danielle. It was very weird.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. So I think. That's happened one other time with this platform. Let's have him call back in and see if he can fix it.
Get something a little better.
Sorry for talking,
you,
by the way, and I love you both.
Oh, we love you too.
No way. And let me just say that it probably wasn't a doctor who recommended that you wean yourself off or quit this medication cold turkey, right?
No. So if you want to know a funny, quick story, I went to a reading. I had my Akashic records read, and then Udon Sanjak is a hoodoo priest that is a good friend of mine, and so he did, like, an ancestral reading. So anyway, I actually called my doctor's office, right, and I told them, you know, like, here's what I'm doing. I didn't tell them any of the spiritual stuff, obviously, you know, but I just told them, like, I'm taking this medication, you know, like I am getting off of this last like half a milligram that I've been stuck with. And, you know, so I said, like, this is what I'm using, this B12, B6, and the magnesium. I didn't know there were different kinds of magnesium, though, so I was using the wrong kind, so I had to get a different one. But, you know, so I just told them, like, because I was looking online, and there is a community of over 80,000 people who cannot get off of their benzo, and there is no protocol to do it that has been decided upon. And also the pharmaceutical companies do not make the amount of milligrams that you need to like taper off of it in the right way, right? So then I'm just breaking pills in half, but I don't know the exact milligrams, right, of each one that I break. So these people were like spending 5 and 6 years trying to get off of this medicine, you know, and I was like, oh, hell to the no, like, I am not doing that. And so I was able to find some different things, but I called my doctor's office, you know, and I said, I talked to a friend and she had told me that to get off of her benzo, they prescribed Valium because it's like the lowest, tiniest amount of one. And that helped her, you know, just like not have all of like the DTs and seizures and things. So I called the doctor, asked about it, and they told me that not only would they help me, but that they would like try to give me a call back on Tuesday if I was still alive. So I told them that I will no longer be speaking to them at all, and that of course I will still be alive because I'm going to do this, but that I don't want their help any longer. So I'm just figuring it out, you know, and it's been working very, very well so far. I just have to be very careful to listen to my body. Like when, you know, I took a GABA because it stops your brain from being able to develop its own GABA. And so that causes all these physical problems. Your nervous system basically shuts down. So I took some GABA and my body did not like it. Like I felt like, you know, if you've ever had a CT scan with contrast, you feel so hot and like your blood is boiling. And that happened to me. And and it hurt even to like touch my skin, and I could feel every single nerve ending. It felt like it was on fire. And I got like scared for a bit at, you know, and then I just talked to my body and I was like, hey, like, I won't give you that anymore. I don't know what's happening, but please stop doing this. And I just have to pay attention to it, you know, so it'll tell me like, hey, you know, you're pushing this a little too hard too fast, or, you know, like I didn't like that supplement that you tried. So it's just really like being mindful and taking the time to listen to my body, you know, and kind of like ask, like I can do the muscle test and like ask it, you know, like what is it that you want from me? But I just thought it might be helpful to share because I don't know how many people, you know, are stuck on these anxiety medications that are kind of like the new opiates, you know, and they're very dangerous. Yeah. Like that and alcohol are the only two substances that will kill you if you don't lean off of them.
And, you know, I want to tell you, I was on, you know, everybody's doctor is like Elvis's doctor. They just put you on whatever. And I'm amazed that, like, I have friends who are on fentanyl patches because they have fibromyalgia. And I'm like, what? It's like they just drug you to death. And years back, like 10 years ago, I was having some issues with some stress and, you know, life issues. And my doctor, he's like, wow, what's going on? I go, I can't sleep because I'm just so stressed. He goes, you can't sleep? What do you do? He gives me Xanax, and I loved it. It was like, I didn't even know that they made Valium anymore because Valium was the go-to, which became, the new one was Xanax, was a Valium. And I was on it I loved it. It was great. It's like, you know, just take the edge off and no worries. And through years of being on it, I got every single side effect that thing has. And I looked at it, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is more detrimental than it is good for me. And I was in the same spot where it's like, oh, my God, I'm afraid. Because if you go off it, you'll have seizures and whatnot. And I thought, oh, my God, I'll die. If I stop taking this, I'll die. Well, no, it was just it was more of a freak-out mode in my mind. That I was like you were saying, oh, like this, and you just simply, it's like you just ride through it, and it's like mind over matter. It's like I can do this.
Okay. And however, when mind is the problem, when mind is the reason you're on the medication, with certain drugs like Xanax, barbiturates, heroin. So, you know, I guess that's a barbiturate, but alcohol, you know, there are certain categories where if you've been dependent, if your body's had it in you for so long, potentially you could die from stopping it cold turkey. Like you can do other things. You can do it gradually, like Lily was talking about doing, which I'm so proud of her for doing what she was doing and quarter, you know, she did half and a quarter. We can't really give medical advice, but, you know, it's an amazing feat for how long she had been on the medication. Ty, I think, is back with us. Hopefully we can I'm not getting an echo this time. Hey.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey there.
Yay.
Love you, brother.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Oh, it sounds much better. Much better. I agree.
I was hoping to be here at
6,
but it's been a long day.
Hey, better than never. Better, yeah. It's good to have you, sweetie. Everything's a long day, isn't it?
I love
mm-hmm.
you.
Indeed.
Yep.
Ty, we all love you so much. We were just talking about basically the CERN machine getting turned back on. Are you aware of that? Do you have thoughts on that?
The what being turned back? Oh, the CERN machine. If they've announced it, like, so in other words, how long has it been on, and what did you do?
Oh, good point.
What did you say?
Well, if they're announcing that they've turned the machine back on, I mean, something's happened that is on the way that they've already done and are preparing you for it.
Well, exactly.
So,
they did. And they did it earlier.
They would do it earlier.
Uh-huh.
They never tell you these things are happening. You know that. They would tell you after the fact.
And
it's like the NDA Act of 2012. So,
yep.
That's exactly what it's like.
Yep.
Pretty days ago. But it's the put yourself in the right mind frame, and you can overcome anything. And it's what we were talking about, weaning off of these light nothing. Nothing. I was on it for years, and it was like oh my gosh, how am I going to function if I don't take this? And it was just like, I can do this, but not this week. And it took months to do it, but finally it was like, okay, this is the day. We're just not going to do it, because every side effect that this drug had, I was experiencing, so it became a detriment, but it was more of a psychological crutch.
Yeah.
Was it
the habit of breaking it? Was that what it was?
And mm-hmm. just saying, you know what, I'm strong enough and I'm going to be okay. And you just kind of talk yourself off the ledge and you can do it. And that's the power that our minds have.
Yeah.
Our minds are strong. And we were talking earlier about how all this talk about the CERN was kind of like almost like a psychological operation to put you further into more fear and control and like, oh my gosh.
Yep.
It's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
We can rise above it. And it's funny, the fact that, yes, I'm quite sure they did turn it on early. And
mm-hmm.
hasn't been the end of the world, as they talked about. So I'm enjoying my barbecue and my beer. And we're going to have a good day.
Good for you.
The whole world together.
Right, and July 3rd.
In a handbasket. And I don't turn the TV on to see it, and I just create my own enjoyable atmosphere. We can all do this. I think. So, I don't know where we were going. Oh, gosh. So, I'm so glad you're here, baby. So glad.
Oh, thank you. It's really good to hear you guys. It's really good. I wanted to be here earlier. And, I was like, now that you guys, that's a very interesting subject that came up July 4th, isn't it? It's very interesting how these things happen to pop up during the Leviathan holidays. It's strange. I also thought it was really interesting how CERN... At CERN's headquarters, they have a gigantic statue of the god Shiva, which is the god of destruction. That's very strange, is it not?
Yeah.
Anywho,
yeah.
I thought it was an interesting side note for that.
Indeed.
Totally.
I'm not sure why.
And
it's
funny how the actual religion of that, the god of destruction was the conqueror and the savior of a certain planetary war that they were having.
Indeed.
And they're using,
even though they're claiming to be secular, right? They're supposed to be a secular organization.
Yes.
That's very strange. So.
Yes.
That's how the sounds work.
Indeed.
Sorry. But they're using it as a, what's the word when they use symbolism? Their symbolism is being distorted for their evil ways. And I do
mm-hmm.
believe that the god
it will be their downfall.
Is,
it was predicted it would be their downfall, that if once the public wakes up to symbolism, it's over. It's the very second it happens, they're done. The very second it occurs.
Yes.
It's the last veil. It's the
What's
10th veil.
Symbolism will be their downfall? Come on. We've been saying this for so long, you know. I'm having a hard time not being flippant about us being right for so long.
Right? Because it gets annoying, doesn't it? Because we've been waiting for like 50 years, and we're like, hey, are you guys going to get there or what? We'd like you to get there, please. It'd be lovely if you got there.
Seeing their downfall, meaning we can see what you're doing, and we know what you're doing. It ain't going to work. That's where I'm seeing it as.
And it's frustrating because it's hidden in plain sight. That's what it is. It's not like they're hiding things. It's just people are being naive. They're oblivious. They don't care about their surroundings. They have no temperance. Temperance is a virtue for a reason. Care about your surroundings.
Right.
Exactly.
She keeps saying, you know, but you keep saying this and that. If you don't see it on the news, it's irrelevant because they don't tell the truth anymore. You know, it's happening whether you like it or not.
No.
It's kind of like that, where, you can keep playing all of your little Illuminati here, and it's like, we see you to be evil. We see through.
They don't necessarily have to lie. They omit. So they lead out parts of it.
Right.
So they lead you to certain conclusions that you draw yourself. So that's how they don't get sued, because they didn't say that. You just thought they did. So you see what I'm saying? Like that's how they do it. They lead with presumption. They lead with presumption.
I have to say though, a constant theme to this show has been the lifting of the veil. How there has always been a portion of us, a small population of us, who could see the symbolism, but there is a collective veil lifting of the symbolism. It's so overt.
Yeah.
You know, it's so in our face that, you know, it's people, the vast majority have woken up, will wake up, and we've already won. All we have to do is sit back and let it happen. Now all they have is fucking CERN, right? Like, that's why we've got CERN going on, and don't say any, you know, don't celebrate independence because CERN.
Yes. You'll be sucked into the third portal of hell if you enjoy a beverage during this holiday. We don't want you to celebrate again. Yes.
You preferred if you didn't, you know.
Oh, God. The next one, and this is where I was like, really? Because I started watching Tucker every day because he's in Brazil. And the bigger part of his one segment was aliens and UFOs. And I'm like, oh, no, of course we're getting set up for the big fake alien invasion because nothing else is working.
It might not even be fake because what they might do, which is also a plan, was to overexhaust you. So they'll release everything simultaneously, and then you're too overwhelmed to do anything.
The same thing
isn't true. It's just that it's very inconvenient right now for us. We were talking about pedophiles. Because then they have to do with pedophiles, aliens, and everything else at the same time. That's too much. It's a little too much.
Yeah.
At the end of this, we're going to find out that pedophile sex rings on Mars is true, and that Alex Jones is owed an apology. I'm telling you, that's going to happen.
Indeed.
That's next.
Indeed. People are going to be very, and they're going to humble themselves. What they'll do is they'll pull
the frogs gay.
I hate to say this, but they're going to pull a bunting. Is what they're going to do. They're going to turn martyr when they realize they've messed up and can't back out. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be that person. I really don't, because I actually don't mean him harm at all. I mean, that's what happened today. And I said, you know what? That's what happens. It happens. They martyr themselves because they try to beat you to the punch because they realize that they've messed up and they can't back out. There's nowhere to go.
Funniest shit ever.
And so therefore, you have to kind of justify and rationalize what you did from your own perspective. And that's fine, because you know what? Because we reached the point now where we don't seek revenge anymore. We don't mistake revenge for justice. And so now I'm just like, no, I'm glad that you are okay, and I hope that you find whatever it is you're looking for. I hope that you solve this problem, and whatever it is that happened is fixed. I have no ill will towards this person. We're done with that. We're done.
We do not hold grudges. We are not them. We are not the Leviathans, period. We're just not them. No matter what they do, we're not going to become them. We're just not going to, period. That's all there is to it.
What?
So.
This isn't even fire yet. Get that off. Get that off.
No, you know what I love?
I won't do it. I just absolutely refuse to. So.
That somebody that I still consider a good friend, despite all of the back and forth, Robert Walker,
mm-hmm.
He even turned on Bunting. You know that? He turned on Bill Bunting. Just at the same time as all this
is
going on.
Like him.
Yes. Oh, my God. I have screenshots. I'm sending to Seeds of Change immediately.
That sounds weird to me. Because, like, there's a rumor. I never turned on him. I was just trying to get him to stop fighting because he wasn't fighting me. Because he legit. Because I could tell by his latest post that he realized that he'd been fooled by a thing that he was lecturing other people about being fooled by. And that's why he's acting this way now. I'm like, darling, I tried to tell you that wasn't me. I tried to tell you it wasn't, and he wouldn't listen. Or he never saw it. Maybe he never actually saw it. You know what I mean? So
my
you never
favorite
know.
Time
so.
Is when he decided that he would say publicly that you and I were both pedophiles, and that was the funniest shit to me. Because literally the reason he gave was that it was a Freudian slip, and that because I expose and dox pedophiles, I must be one, therefore. And I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
It was the lack of it was the accusation because it was so radical, it was so outrageous, that we were like, this is false on its face, and everybody sees it. And so now you have to retract it. And because people get so stubborn when they're wrong like that, they're like, I'm going to continue to say it. It must be true because you're mocking me for a bit. Oh, honey. Oh, honey, honey, honey. You're gonna get in trouble now. You're in trouble, because I mean, come on, that's what we call it, steining. They stein themselves when it's so outrageously untrue that it's laughable. Like you just people are turning their heads away in shame. They're like, please stop. It's cringy. It's cringy and embarrassing.
Oh,
you know, so.
Steining. That's so funny.
This is what it is.
Yeah.
Just like, I still haven't heard from that woman till this day. I've asked people, where is that woman? Did she die? They're like, I've never heard of her since. I have no idea where she went. We have no idea. I don't know.
Of course, you're first.
She joined the Lindbergh baby in Antarctica or something. I don't know where she is, but she's gone, honey. She left. So.
Of course, referring to
I don't. And people
are
like, I did something
page.
To her. People think, there's some people that actually think that I killed that woman. They actually think I did that. I'm like, guys, I didn't do anything. This woman. I did. She probably had her head in shame. Is probably what happened. I didn't do anything to her.
Yes.
I really didn't. I swear
mm-hmm.
to you. So.
Well, we all know that.
But that was the post I made today. That was the post I made today because I was like, you know what? When you look at that from their perspective, I'm like, this is what they mean by there is no villains and heroes, because the villains are always the hero of their story, and they take themselves down because they are always their worst enemy. Always, every single time, you count on it. So all you do is just wait for them to just self-destruct, which they will do. They will do this.
Just wait.
They will.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of when they do so, that they will. And that's probably what CERN is warning them. CERN is probably warning themselves about the destruction that they created for themselves. That's probably what they did. That's probably exactly what happened. So.
There we go.
That's an interesting thought.
Exactly. We're at basically the end of the episode. I'm about to get them just got the 90-second mark. And I just
really?
Want to end with, and I'll let you guys continue, but every time you smile, a reptilian goes hungry. That's, I think, that all
That's
the only message that we need to take into this CERN / Independence Day couple days
yeah.
weekend.
and to remember to humanize people, not dehumanize them. The key
That's
is that the
right.
key to Leviathans is that they get you to dehumanize each other. So and yourself. So don't do that. Make sure at all costs that you keep people human regardless of their flaws and regardless of what they do, still humans. And that's it. That's why they act
Absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely.
Oh,
okay,
I love you all.
Thanks.
That's fantastic.
Lily, thank you so much for calling
in. We'll see you all. I will be there next week. I'll be ready next week.
Oh, honey, you came in
week.
And you killed it, baby. You killed it. That was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, love.
You're welcome.
Lily, we love you so much.
Love you, Lily. Bye.
All right. Well, guys,
please share this if you can. We love you. And I guess we'll talk to you next week.
You good? Go out and barbecue something.
It'll do you well. I'm making homemade barbecue sauce right now. We got the fire going, and
yay,
we're burning chicken. So we're cover it in barbecue sauce. Enjoy.
Wonderful.
And give yourself permission to enjoy. Love you guys. Have a great week.
Love you. Bye.